United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Behavioral healthcare, all professionals carrying staff can help you or your loved ones get started. started on the road to recovery today. Turning to counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit my website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help. For depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorder, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
For a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're here. And it is 8 minutes after the hour of noon, 2013. In studio with me today, Thursday, the 7th of February, 2013, is Mark Manji.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Today is the first Thursday because Mark is here with me on the first and the third Thursdays.
Hey, that's how I know what day. I got to get up and figure out what socks to put on and what day is. This day I come to Tracy's.
That's it. So you only wear socks on the first and third Thursdays.
Yeah, I'm feeling very thankful today. I'm feeling thankful that I don't live in Boston. Because if you saw the weather, these guys are going to get 3 feet of snow this weekend, which always goes back to what I tell everybody. Youngstown, Ohio is the garden spot in the United States. We don't get severe weather here one way or the other, and it all goes around us.
Now, it does do that. I mean, we get some weather here, but it's not like...
Not like that.
No.
We didn't get 3 feet of snow here. I think the last time we had 3 feet of snow was 1950.
But they tell me in Michigan that they're going to get some real deep snow. It's going to be really, really crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, this is always... The southern storms are too far south, the northern storms are too far north, and these little... loads that swing up the East Coast.
This is good.
That's good for us.
But I'm ready for spring.
You know, it's just around the corner.
Because you were just talking about Lent, but I'm ready for spring.
I have seasonal affective disorder, and it's just wonderful at night because it's getting lighter every night. Right here, my wife says she wants to give me some pills because I'm kind of wacky. But over here, I keep the sunrise sunset.
Is that an app?
Yeah, it's an app. I keep the sunrise sunset for the days, and I can kind of see what's going on over here.
Do you have an app for the sunrise sunset?
Yeah, I do.
Listen, he comes in here with this tablet. I'm going to tell on you. And I come in here with this briefcase, and his eyes get, extremely wide.
Now, everything's on here, and it's wonderful. And every day I check to make sure that the day is getting longer and longer and longer, and then I'll turn it off. 21st of June, which is my day of mourning, when the days start to get a little shorter.
All I know is I'll be glad. Mark, maybe you're bright.
If you say so.
Why do they change the time? What is up with the time? I mean, not only do they change the time, but they change the day that you change the time. Who told them that they could change the time to change the day to change the time? Because I have a problem with changing the time. Who told them that?
Well,
let me see your app.
Yeah, see, go like that. You go like this. Push this little button.
Push the button.
And then, whoops.
Oh, the date comes up.
Do this over here. Do this over here, and it just changes the date. And up here, you can see the times. Press that little arrow down there.
Just little arrow down here. Yeah. Nice little note here. This is cute.
And it's wonderful. I can make sure that the days are getting longer every day.
I see.
Have you ever gone through a year? Do you remember back when we had the energy crisis back in, maybe you don't, back in the 70s?
In the 70s, I was somewhere in my puberty.
Okay. Well, they I'm a little bit older than you. Older than you.
Just a couple days.
I was in law school back then, and they got rid of daylight savings. They got rid of Eastern Standard Time and kept it on daylight savings time.
Why did they? Tell me.
It was very, very strange because it was dark till 9 or 10 in the morning. It was good.
We had a problem with it being dark until 9 and 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
But we don't have a problem with it getting dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No. Listen, I've been to Russia a number of times. I've been to St. Petersburg, and I've been there on June 21st when it doesn't get dark, and I've been there on December 21st when it never gets light. It's weirdly weird.
But who told us that we could change the time? How are we supposed to know the days and the times if we keep on changing the time? And then recently they changed the days that you change the times. By the time I figured out spring ahead and fall back, they changed the days that you're supposed to change them.
It's the Lord.
No.
Yeah, he gave us dominion over this stuff. That's who told us we can change the time. Read Genesis.
He told me he gave me dominion over fish, over birds, over land. He never told me I had dominion over time. Because if I had dominion over time, I'd make sure people didn't die.
Yeah, but you know that's kind of comes with, if you look at the package deal, those 7 days, he made the earth and the light and the sky.
That's right.
And then he gave us dominion over
it all.
It all.
Right.
And so we changed time.
Time, they should leave the time alone. Find the time and say that's the time and then leave the time. Because I don't like it getting dark so early. Because you know what happens when the sun goes down?
Huh.
It means bedtime.
Well, that's why we have Christmas. We have all these lights, and that's why they make those. My wife got me one of those lights for Christmas. You sit in front of it and it kind of hits your face.
Oh, you got a vitamin D light.
Yeah. And my other buddy has one too.
They work? Because I saw them at the health food store, and I'm a sun baby. I need the sun.
We were at my buddy's house for the Super Bowl, and his wife had one of these things, and she turned it on. I swear you could light Central Square with this thing. It was just the brightest light I've ever seen in my life. The one my wife got me, you sit in front of it. You're only supposed to sit in front of it for like 10 or 15 minutes, and you got to turn it off. I mean, it is very, 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 very bright.
Does it work? My question is, does it work?
Not as good as gin.
Gin does not make you have... It doesn't help the sun.
It forgets. You forget.
Yeah, you go to sleep. Jeez, oh, man. You go to sleep.
Me and my friend Jim Beam and Jack Daniels.
No. They make you go to sleep or not catch a cold.
Oh, that doesn't work. I get sick anyways. I try.
There's a problem there, Mark. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Mark Mangian and I are sitting in studio today, and we want you to call in and join the conversation. Hey, let's keep it. Next week is Valentine's Day.
I know. Isn't that...
And you won't be here. I hate that you won't be here, because I want you to tell me what the secret is of success of family.
I'll tell you what the secret is. You know, my wife is my best friend.
Okay.
We were friends before, you know, way before we got married, and that carries through.
Okay.
And I'm serious about that. I don't know what people go and, you know, how people go into relationships today. It's a lot different today, but
today they do it really. It's a really weird system.
Yeah.
If you see somebody, you think he's cute, you sleep with him, you have a baby, you move in, you get married, you get divorced.
Yeah.
That works.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah,
that's how they do it today.
Yeah.
And no one's happy.
Yeah. Well, I hope there's some happy people. I think there's happy people out there. Valentine's Day is.
Do you celebrate Valentine's Day with your wife?
We're going out. She doesn't know it yet, but
she won the minute.
We're going up to Cleveland for dinner tomorrow night, and then we're going to the
tomorrow night. That's next week.
Yeah, and the Youngstown Symphony is having their on Saturday is their Pops concert. It's
okay.
All Gershwin and Broadway loved songs.
Okay.
We're going out for dinner with some friends, and we're going to that. And then on Valentine's Day, my wife is working till 9 o'clock at night, and then she's getting up on Friday morning and going up to Cleveland for the weekend with her girlfriends.
That sounds pretty good.
So I'm going to go out for Valentine's dinner with my son.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So you still celebrate Valentine's Day and do things with your, but you guys do stuff all the time.
Well, you know what, our family celebrations. I don't want to plug anything, but we have a particular place we go to that is.
You can plug them.
Can I plug them?
You can plug them.
Oh, we go down to the Elmton and Struthers for our family.
Good fried chicken and good pizza.
I know, and
we can give them a plug because we're going to get some money off them in a week. But they give good.
We go there for anniversaries. We go there for birthdays, and
you really take her to a high place. A high ticket place, don't you?
It's home. When I brought my wife back here to Youngstown for the first time in 1972, in 1970, the first place I took her was the Elmton. And when my son was born, that's the first place we went after he was born. And we have spent over the years, we go down there for family celebrations. And it's like a home, and it's comfort food for us.
Tell me, do you have a mug there?
No, I don't have a mug.
For those of you who are listening across the globe, we have a place called the Elmton here in Struthers, Ohio. And those of you who are here locally, if you don't know about it, it is a great little hiding place of wonderful roasted chicken, great pizza, wonderful, absolutely fabulous Italian bread, and good salads that are nice and fresh.
Sauce is good.
It's a
great place.
And it's a small little family-style restaurant that has a big heart.
And they've been there a long time.
That was a good plug for them.
Yeah.
But they're good people.
You get money from them?
Not yet.
You ready to go down there?
We're going to go down. We're going to go and get a piece of chicken
or
something.
We'll go down there.
We're going to do something. We're going to do something for them because I love them and they've always been good to me.
Yeah. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
The same thing I'm doing for every other day of the year. I don't have a Valentine.
Aww.
I don't have a, you know, it's hard, and I don't have a Valentine. And, you know, whether it's Valentine's Day or even special events, it's not always easy because you when you want to do something, you don't have anyone to go out and do things with. But then I'd rather be with someone that I wanted to be with than just to be with someone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that just, you know, there's a lot of people that have someone, but their days are not as happy as mine.
Yeah. That goes for just about any holiday when you do that. You know, I
want a friend. I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for a person. I want a friend, you know, someone that I trust and that we can laugh and sit in each other's chair and never talk.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing that makes I think relationships strong.
That not talking thing is really interesting. That's really true. I mean, my wife and I went up to a really expensive place, though. I didn't know it was that expensive when we went there, and I had a heart attack. And we up in Cleveland a couple weeks ago, and I drove home. We drove home in complete silence. We listened to the radio. We didn't say a word.
Are you one of those people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not what you would call cheap, but my God, this everything was a la carte in this joint, and you know, we paid. You got gnocchi and a cream sauce. It was like $18 with no salad and not even a meatball. By the time we got done, I had $80 tied up in two plates of pasta, no meatballs, a 10-inch pizza, and two drinks.
I
could eat for 3 weeks in Youngstown for $80.
Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I'll share a quick Valentine story with you if you got a second.
You got it.
So I got engaged on Valentine's Day about 14 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I was working second shift, came home, proposed on Valentine's Day at about 12, you know, at midnight. And we celebrated that day by going to, I made reservations at a very nice steakhouse in Independence, Ohio. And we went there, and we had, you know, sat at the bar for a little while till our table became available. And the table became available about a half an hour late. And we were sitting at the table, and we waited for about 2.5 to 3 hours of questioning why our food wasn't at the table yet before they told us that they had ran out of meat.
Ooh.
So
how did they run out of meat?
And they ran out. I know. That's what I was saying. So they ran out of meat and decided that they were only going to comp, and they weren't going to comp any of our drinks or comp any of what do you get before dinner? Your appetizers.
Appetizers.
So they didn't comp any of that. We left. We were very unhappy. We decided to go to a club in Cleveland, and we got there. We were there about 15 minutes. The club got raided, and. And let's just say my engagement Valentine's Day didn't work out too well, and I'm reminded of that every single year. So I hope everybody has a better Valentine's Day than I had.
And she still loved you enough to marry you and stay married to you 14 years later.
I think her exact words were, "It couldn't get any worse than that night."
What a great story.
So now, did you get on one knee?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately, I had to, she was still, she was sleeping when I got home, so I had to wake her up, of which she wasn't very happy about, but, you know, I had this whole plan in my head, because I was Don Juan back then, you know, and, got down on one knee, proposed, and she had a very tired yes. There was really no excitement. It was crazy, but, no, it's been a very good 14 years, and, it's just funny that that's what I have to remember, and I have to make up for that night every single Valentine's Day, probably for the next 15 years to come.
I like this story. That's a good story. And we're doing Valentine's Day is next Thursday. Next Thursday, I'll have on Doris Bullock, and we're going to be doing fitness. We're going to talk about healthy hearts because, you know, Valentine's Day and hearts, you got to stay healthy for your loved ones. And then we're going to have on Dr. Brandy, and we're going to talk about the emotional issues of Valentine's Day. And then I've got a guy who's going to be coming on, and it's going to be about, you know, being physically fit and nutrition, and he's a chiropractor. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that means I can't go home and eat candy if I'm listening to you.
No,
I won't be able to get my box of candy.
No. Listen, it's candy. Valentine candy is not always a good thing.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You know,
because not all the heart-shaped boxes that they used to sell, that you don't see as many as you used to.
Well, that's too expensive.
And you have to put your thumb into all of the ones to find out the ones you're trying to find because there was no legend to go with it.
I go there to the counter and I pick. You know, cause, you know the hand thing.
So you do the hand. I'm talking about, you know, you used to get the whole box.
Yeah.
And you never knew what was in it. Wasn't it called Whitman's?
Whitman samplers.
Yes, and you had every sample that they ever had in life in that one, and then they had the good ones and the bad ones. You had to stick your thumb in them to figure out which one was good.
Now, Tracy, I'll give you a hint. If you look at the lid of the Whitman sampler boxes, it tells you what they are.
That takes out the fun of putting your thumb in all of them.
You know, just like, what's his face? What was the movie, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates? You never know what you're going to get.
See? That's what I'm saying.
Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. Yeah, Forrest. There we go.
You know what? You guys watch entirely too many movies. If you know the line.
Tracy, I live my life by movies. I got more lines from movies that I live by than...
Are you...
Where did they get a hold of me? Batman.
South Carolina, we're going to have a conversation. You guys cannot...
Oh,
so you,
I know some more.
I mean, you guys watch the... I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh, heck, no? Tracy, you know.
No. I know the theme song.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
And people say their phrases all the time. And I know there's a horse in somebody's bed.
Yeah. Leave the gun and take the cannoli. They shoot the guy. They're holding. They stop at the store to get food. And they leave after they shot the guy. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
And they took the food. Well, that was pretty smart. That's pretty good.
Well, one of the movies that I like to quote is... there was a movie with Katharine Hepburn and Peter O'Toole called The Lion and Winner. And given that I had a lot of conflict in my family over the years, Peter O'Toole played King Henry or Richard, whatever it was, and he had kept his wife locked up in a tower. And once a year he brought her down for Christmas to be with the family before he sent her back and locked her up at the tower. So now he's going to kill his two sons and lock his wife up at the tower. And Katharine Hepburn looks at him and says, "Every family has its ups and downs." And I use that all the time. It's a great line. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Tears in a bucket, and then you can finish the rhyme. And not being sad about things. It's,
I don't even know what you're talking about. What tears in a bucket?
Well, if you say somebody, you know.
Do you know about tears in a bucket, you guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
Tears in a bucket. Finish the limerick.
I thought he said beers in a bucket. I got
no,
all happy.
Tears in a bucket.
No, tears in a bucket. What do you do with tears in a bucket?
They asked her, "Do you feel the movie had to?" the Lady Chablis was a very skinny male drag queen who was a key witness in a murder trial. And they asked her, "Do you feel bad about this? And do you feel bad about that?" And she said, "My mama told me a long time ago, tears in a bucket, blankety blanket." And I have it embroidered.
Mark, we got to talk. We got to talk. Guys, I have a question for you guys. Are men just that simple?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I think so.
We're very linear. We're very logical. To us, the quickest way between two points is a straight line. The quicker we can get there, the better off we are. The better for us.
That's right. We don't multitask well. I'm not a multitasker. If I multitask, I go into spasms. It doesn't work. My wife always knows when I come home and I've had to multitask because I take pills and I hit for the bottle. I can't do this anymore.
And you get yelled at for not multitasking. Same thing. Yeah.
Tracy, I told you. The women, something's wrong with you guys because you can watch TV, talk on the telephone, yell at the kids, have a conversation with somebody in the room while you're watching TV and talking on the telephone, and then yell and scream at us. And you think we're weird? Come on. No, there's nothing wrong with us. You guys are with this multi.
No, what it is we're functional.
No, we can function.
No,
we
you
function
guys,
very well.
No, we're functional. You guys function. We're functional. There's a difference.
Okay, whatever you say.
There's a difference. You don't understand. We are functional. Because we have so much to do. If we only could do one thing at a time, you guys would never eat.
I can cook for myself.
Yeah, but you don't clean house and cook at the same time.
I can cook for myself and clean house and do everything. Yes, I can. I was a United States Marine. We knew.
What does the Marines have to do with cooking and cleaning?
They know how to. They take care of their areas. They're tough.
Marines are nothing but trained executioners.
What?
I could probably get you. Simplify.
Oh, my God! Wait a minute, I'm gonna have a heart attack here.
831, your mic is on.
Hi, Bonnie? Tracy.
Hi.
Yeah, I have to apologize. Yesterday, I was talking with Stanley in South Carolina. My phone went completely. All this wonderful technology we have today.
The battery went out, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, I wanted to call because your comment about dinner, my guys would run around with dirty underwear.
See?
Our floors would be not mopped. They would kick their shoes off and fall in them and keep right on going because the phone's ringing or something else. We women can pick up the shoes, answer the phone, talk to the kids, wipe up the floor, and South is right. Yell at him. You know, yell at him during the whole process.
W-O-M-A-N.
We can do all
we
that.
We do all that. I think sometimes we let all of it go to our head because we think because we can do it, it makes us greater than men. And so what we do is we forget who we are. And then we
complain to them because we're doing it all.
Right.
I hire it out.
Well, that's smart.
And then we complain. We complain about it.
That's smart.
Well, that's where I just came from. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah,
I just came back from cleaning a house, working for somebody that, you know, probably doesn't fight as much as my husband and I do because I'm running my house by myself without a cleaning lady.
Let me ask you this. Because you are a cleaning lady, is it very, very difficult for other people to do stuff for you when it comes to cleaning?
Oh, I think so.
I think so,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Because
people who are
cleaners, they have a hard time letting other people clean for them.
I have a hard time about a lot of things, Tracy. I have a lot,
now,
a lot
do you
of
think
hard
that
times about
a... Now, do you think that women are more complex than men?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm living in a house full of men.
How many guys are in your house?
Three.
Your husband and two boys?
Right.
How old are your kids?
14 and 15.
Oh, jeez.
But guess what? I think my husband's 13. I think there's some days, I don't know. He's awesome. And Valentine's Day, I had a proposal of roses. It was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And he put the engagement ring in the box of flowers. So I'm putting the flowers in the water. And, thank you very much. It was very nice. And there was the ring in with the flowers. And, of course, it fell out. And then there's this look on his face like, that wasn't quite like the way he planned. He thought I was going to open the box. And, because I multitask, I dug right in and did it, And there goes, the ring is already exposed. So I already knew. But
how many years ago was that?
7, actually. He and I, and you're going to wonder because, the ages don't work right. So Mark's going to wonder because those are my grandsons.
Okay.
I was married before. I was married for 24 years. And my husband of today, I actually grew up with. We graduated in the same high school class. And his life took him someplace right after high school, and mine took me someplace. And then years later, we got married.
Now, do you expect your husband to do something for you on Valentine's Day?
Oh, we will be. It's already planned.
So you expect to celebrate Valentine's Day? Because a lot of people don't expect it.
No, I don't. I don't. If it, we make a plan, but if it doesn't work out, it's okay. It's all right.
I love those full circle stories where you get together with somebody that you knew a long time ago. Those are great stories. That's
I know. I know four or five couples that have the same thing happen to them. They even went to different states, and then they met later at a class reunion, or they bumped into each other at the grocery store. And that's pretty much what I did. I bumped into – I was with my girlfriend. My girlfriend and I decided we had to get out of the house. So we made a big date on the calendar where we would go to get movies or we would go out for dinner or we'd go listen to a band. We forced ourselves. And I didn't want to go. I was just I was tired. I worked hard. I didn't want to go. Well, she said, well, that's okay, but you're driving. So then I felt like I had to go. And I just bumped into him as, you know, it was, you know, that it was just amazing. We started seeing each other probably 4 months. In 4 months, we were engaged. And we were married 7 years ago.
That's great. Wow. That's a nice story.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're still happy.
For the most part, except for when.
Okay.
Except for when. Except
there's
for
always
when.
A win, but, you know, win is a win.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You have two people going in different directions trying to come into one central location. Yes, South Carolina.
Chase, you know what? I was thinking as you guys were talking, I'm amazed that I haven't gone stark raving mad because, I mean, listen, I've got four older sisters, okay? I'm child number five, okay? All right? So there was five women in the house at one time, and then, you know, my dad, and then my brothers came along later, but I was a guinea pig for them four until my brothers came along. And then I got four daughters. Okay?
Boy,
I should be crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Why?
You're a better buck.
You are a better person because you have all of those women around you, all of that estrogen.
What?
That you should be a phenomenal man.
Really?
Absolutely great.
But if phenomenal you mean a saint, yes, he should be.
No, I didn't say saint. I said phenomenal, Matt.
Eight girls.
How can you be around that many women and not come out phenomenal?
Hey, I'm gonna tell you. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, when I got married, okay, it was just the sweetest thing to my wife. When I would go to the store and get her feminine products, she thought that was so sweet, and that was just, you know, so nice for doing that. But because most guys won't do that, I've been doing that all my life.
You know, a lot of men won't do that.
No.
That is absolutely no.
Yeah, I can't do it. I did it one time, and it was I can't do it. There's just no way. I just feel funny. That's all.
Are you serious, Matt? What is the deal with that? Listen, we have to have ED commercials all around us, but you can't go and buy feminine products?
Listen, I'm waiting for coming up to the register and them not having a price on it and going over the microphone and saying, the man in the blue hat, okay, that's what I'm waiting for.
Now, that was a movie.
I don't like buying feminine products. I don't go to the grocery. I don't go to the drugstore to buy my own stuff. I buy it online. I don't like going to the drugstore.
Women don't like going either. That's not the point.
I was going to say, Tracy, I hate that. I don't like it either.
We don't like
it
either.
I absolutely think it's horrible. Horrible.
I just think for years we had to go to a male OBGYN all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but then my wife would start on that. Watch out. Now, I think the best invention that has come down the pike is drugstore.com or buythecase.com, where I call up and I buy a year's worth of deodorant and they deliver it to my door. Shaving cream, I can buy, you know, 12 cans at a time, and it's just, you know, it's great. Soap, you know, I like certain kinds of soap. But
that makes sense, but a year, I thought I was bad, Mark. Wow.
I give it away for Christmas.
You know what? You are special. Hey, listen, I got to take a break. You guys hold on. Stanley, I'll pick you up as soon as I come back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a
Hey, hey.
Hey, yes. Stanley,
hello.
Is that you? I'm sorry.
Yes,
my phone died yesterday. We were in the middle of a break.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
What's not okay? It was in the middle of a conversation, and I really wanted to hear what you guys had to say.
I'm sorry, guys. My wife has a chocolate lab. She's got a Jack Russell, whatever that thing is, whatever Bruno is, a Lhasa Apso or, and no, Shih Tzu. Next, and then she got a Shih Tzu. And it just started raining. I had to leave work to come home and put the dogs in. so they won't look like mops when everybody gets home later on today. See, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, that we do.
I don't have any pets in my house because I have boys, so I don't have any pets. I don't need any pets. I have enough
boys.
With just the boys.
Boys and pets are ooh, they can be kind of tough on the pets now. They can be kind of tough. I know from experience. I remember, you know, this one kid on the block, he used to tie a can to the dog's tail, which wasn't too bad, but when he tried it to the cat.
I had some brothers, South Carolina, so I grew up with a lot of brothers. And they did, oh, my goodness, the things they did. And they, you're right, the pets, they hooked, I remember they hooked one of the ponies to a piece of cardboard and put some baler twine on it and ran over, you know, through the yard on the snow. And and they were not going slow. And, you know, they didn't think about the baler twine taking them out on the side when they would come around a bend. And the pony, there was no bit in this pony's mouth. It was just going.
Oh, my
God. And they hit trees and briars, and they just thought that was hilarious. They had the best time. Our dad about flipped out because, you know, they could have, you know, my mom didn't even drive. So these boys would have just, I don't know, laid there until dad got home, I guess. I don't know. But they had a great childhood.
Baling twine will kill you dead if you catch it. Get it right. You can't get it loose.
Oh, yeah. There was no bit in a pony's mouth, no way to guide it. They just got on these pieces of cardboard and took off, man. They just, it was a snowy day, and they decided they were going
to
make this harness. And they did.
We were playing dart baseball one time.
Dart?
Don't ask me why. Dart baseball.
Did you say dart baseball?
Dart baseball.
Dodge.
Yeah, it was very, very stupid. Very stupid. But we did it anyway. Until one of the guys' moms came out the door and saw us, and that put an end to that. So,
we did all kinds of things that we, both my parents are gone now. Stanley, you must have been a really great kid because you don't have any terrible stories to tell. My parents are both gone now, but there are things that we did that we've never shared with our parents.
Well, me and the guys, we went to the plum orchard one time. And we made some plum wine. We'll call ourselves being, you know, making some moonshine. And what we didn't realize was, you know, it tasted just like Kool-Aid. Nobody realized the daggone stuff had alcohol in it.
How old were you?
I think we were about maybe 7 or 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Did you get sick?
I drank one little teacup of it, I was the youngest kid there. Once one of the other guys got a hold of it, he got him a whole big old cup, and he went to drinking and went to laughing, and he had a good old time. And I think he would have been okay, but then he started laughing too hard, fell down, and spilled it all on his shirt. His mom had a fit.
Yeah.
I'll just put it like this. We didn't make any more wine, that's for sure.
Well, you know, there's a book out where there's a drawing illustration to make a moonshine still in your kitchen sink. The book is called Possum Living, Possum Like the Animal, and it's written by a 17-year-old girl named Dolly Freed. And she made moonshine in her kitchen sink. Now, we don't live very far. I don't live very far from West Virginia. And not that we can't make it in Ohio, but I'll tell you, the moonshine and the that comes from West Virginia and quart jars that we get is absolutely delicious, South Carolina.
Free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. I'm sitting here with Mark Mangi, and we're just having a conversation about, I brought this up about Valentine's Day, because next week Mark won't be with me, and Valentine's Day is very...
I'll be with you with my heart.
Yeah. You're taking your wife out to dinner. And so I have to be by myself on Valentine's Day with people that want me to lose weight and all that kind of stuff. So I was just bringing it up, because, you know, it's the season, and, you know... Relationships to me, whether it be family, whether it be, you know, your significant other, it's really important to society, more so than we actually give credit to. We don't give as much credence to relationships as we should, because without relationships, you really have nothing.
Yeah, you look at all the bad stuff that's going on in the world right now. At the end of the day, it all comes down to, you know, they can. Did you hear Bruce Willis's quote this morning about on gun control?
No, I did not. I heard that he was not in favor of gun control.
He said if they could, you know, but I don't want to get onto that topic. But the last comment he made was really profound. He says, "I don't know how to legislate insanity." And I think that pretty much sums it up. There is a way you can do it. You got to have strong families, good relationships, good values.
That means a lot.
That means everything.
That means a lot. And what's happening is we have destroyed the fabric of America because we've destroyed the family of America.
I mean, everybody needs a support system. The first place you go to get the support system is your family.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I've come from some dysfunction.
But every family has dysfunction.
Yeah.
All families dysfunctional. The question is, do you love your dysfunction of your family? Or you should. Because when it all boils down, you're still family.
Every family has its ups and downs.
Absolutely. And I mean, every family has dysfunction. And any family that says that they don't have any dysfunction, they lie. Hey, Staley, how you doing, honey?
I'm doing fine, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Congratulations for keep on doing the weight thing.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sitting here eating a Subway and some cuties.
That's good. I'm telling you, you're gonna get a lot of men running after you after that.
I don't know. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to run like that. I'm not looking for that. That's the last thing I want. And I'm serious.
Well,
me personally, that's not what I want. I don't like that kind of attention. All I want is someone who's going to love me as much as I love them and love God as much as I do.
Yeah, but being attracted to the person is important also, Tracy. You don't want somebody who's a roommate with you and has all those things, but you don't have any physical connection. You don't want that.
But chemistry, physical looks are not chemistry, and we need to understand that. Because, you know, you look at some people and you wonder how in the world did they get together. Looks are not chemistry, and I would rather have a cerebral relationship than a physical one that just looks good on a postcard.
Really?
I did the cute thing, and we look really good in a photograph. I picked up a photo the other day, and it just floored me because I forgot what we looked like, and I was like, wow. That's not what makes a strong relationship. I want people that, you know, I want someone that when I'm sick, they're going to love me anyhow, and I've never seen anybody sick and cute.
That's the truth. That is the truth. I have. I am fortunate to be where I'm at because of that very thing.
You know, when I look bad and I'm having a bad day, and I really, because when you have a cold or when you're not feeling good, I want somebody that's going to care about me just as much as they do when I have on a bikini on the beach of Brazil, no matter what, that they love me for me. Not because I look good.
I agree. I understand. But you don't want to have, which a lot of people have, a sexless marriage. A lot of people have that. So you don't want that to have a sexless marriage.
What kind of marriage?
A marriage without sex, a marriage without intimacy.
But that has absolutely nothing to do with attraction. Because there's a lot of folks that look good and don't have sex either.
Hey, Stanley. I'm going to tell you, man. I had a girlfriend one time. Man, that girl was fine as frog hair. But I'm going to tell you, she was mean as a damn snake, too. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I am so glad. When I hit 40 years old, okay, I realized, I love my wife, but when I hit 40 years old, you know, I started to see things in her. Those little extra pounds there became more and more sexy to me, okay? Why? Because I love her. And ain't nobody out there can take her place or take me away from her. I don't care how fine they are. The exterior, I'm glad I learned early on it's not what's between the legs, it's what's between the ears that matters.
I mean, because when I look at, I'll tell you what happens. As I begin to watch people age, everything changes. And if you don't have someone who's in your corner as you go through this aging process, and if they're for anything outside of you, you can lose them very, very quickly.
Yeah, well, my wife when my wife and I got married, I weighed 170 pounds.
Did you look like Alex?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I was. But I, you know, I never really had much muscle tone. I always, okay. Alex was, you know, he worked out.
Right.
But, you know, now 100 pounds later, you know, over the year, 10 pounds.
It was because she fed you.
Yeah, I know that.
And she's a good cook.
I know that.
But I'm, you know, the relationship matters. I mean, how long have you been married now?
40 years.
I mean, you really want someone who they see you at your worst after a while. I mean, you can't put on that crazy heart drop through the floor every time they walk in the door face after a while in marriage. Some days your spouse walks in the door and you wish they'd turn around and go back out just because. And you've got to be in love with the person and who they are, that when that feeling comes that you know, because I will say this, because I'm divorced, you know, there comes a day in your marriage that the honeymoon is actually, it goes away.
Yeah.
The first 6 months to a year, you're in bliss. After a while, you're finding out commingling two lifestyles into one house is very difficult. And you've got to love through that. And you've got to respect through that. And you've got to be friends through it where you can have a conversation.
Well, you know, you got to work at it. You know, a lot of kids today get married. I don't know what they expect is going to happen, but when you're building a life together, you are building a life.
And it's a building.
And it's a building process. I mean, you have to establish how the money works. You have to establish how you're going to run the household, who's going to do what in the household. You know, and you know, after a while, you know, it becomes second nature because, you know, my wife and I will be married 45 years this coming November. We just had our 44th anniversary. And, you know, she knows what I'm thinking, and I know what she's thinking, and, you know, we pretty much almost operate on radar. It's really weird, but it takes a lot of years to get to that point.
And it's a process because, you know, I tell you what's really funny, and I'm going to pick you up 2, 3, 4. My aunt and my uncle have been married. I'm 48. They've been married 47 years.
Yeah.
And to watch them interact with each other, you would think that they would know each other so well that they would have no confrontation at all, that everything would just be, by that time, you've almost been married 50 years. You ought to know each other enough where you know, you're in sync. And, you know, they love each other to death. And I watched them be in love with each other and then argue and get on each other's nerves for the pettiest things. And it's really amazing to watch the relationship as it evolves over the years. And the love and the friendship and the dependence that they have on one another, yet they still have the little nuances that just wreck their nerves.
Yeah, but that's part of it. They would not give that up.
No.
Even the disagreement.
No, and that's just amazing.
That's a big package.
But
yeah.
they have a relationship, they have a friendship, and they have their family, and it's really weird. Because you would think after 50 years you would be able to stand when a person poops and, you know, be like, oh, okay, poop.
Yeah, the one thing I've learned is that and we're still learning, you know, as we get older, is we respect each other's space a little bit more as we get older.
Really?
Yeah, because she does what she has her interests, and I'm not interested in what she's interested in. And I have my interests, and she's not really interested in the stuff that I do. And so, you know, we allow ourselves to go out in our own areas. And then, you know what, it actually gives us something to talk about when we get together. And, you know, she talks about what she's doing. I'm talking about what I'm doing. And we kind of go our own ways, and it's great.
It, you know, what's a, and that's when time goes by. It's amazing how things change, and not for the worse. I mean, my wife is, I don't know if you've seen pictures of her, Tracy, but she is absolutely gorgeous. I, on the other hand, am not. Okay. She got a chance to date, I mean, not a chance, but she dated wealthy men. She dated guys that were bodybuilders, guys that were models. She dated all these people before she met me. I come along. I treated her right. We treated each other right. We had a respect for each other and what we did. And, I mean, down the line through the marriage, as you know, I had a pretty major surgery, and I came through. It took me 6 months to recover from, and it was not pretty to look at, and she took care of me through that whole time. And we just became very close friends, and that's it. You know, we plan to go the rest of our lives together. So it's really not about physical attraction, at least on her end, as much. And, you know, we're friends.
Hey, hold on, Stanley. Two, three, four, your mic is on.
Trey?
Yeah.
Hey, no, I just wanted to ask yourself and, you know, your gentleman, you know, friends there that's on with you. One thing I think about as far as marriage and stuff, one, for me, I don't like nobody that's, you know, when you say it's like to take you for sick, well, how sick do you mean, though?
Doesn't matter.
Huh?
Doesn't matter. No matter what it is.
I was sick. I almost died.
That's what I'm saying. Whether it's a cold or whether I'm sitting there with IVs blown up like a fruitcake in the intensive care, I want them to be there and love me through it all.
Okay.
And be faithful to me where I am. And that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you got a point. And the last thing in general for all you all, they always say, you know, that, you know, a marriage is really, you know, really there when you're allowed, you know, when you're in the bathroom with your mate at the same time she's using the bathroom or you using the bathroom.
And they say.
Do you think that, you think that's real? You know.
I do.
Trey, you know, for me.
I've seen that happen. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know how they do that, but yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah,
that happened this morning at my house.
you know, it's weird, but you know, that's I'm not there because I'm still single. So,
Well, you know, there's some on those kinds of things. There's some people that can tolerate that.
Right.
There's some people that can't.
That's true.
And that gets worked through. You work through that issue, and you come to.
You get two bathrooms.
Yeah, you get two bathrooms.
But you want somebody that no matter what, because see, even if you can't tolerate, you know, I've seen people when they've been sick, and they can't clean themselves up, and
yeah.
even though
yeah.
they couldn't take it, and they can't tolerate it, because they love the person, whether it be their parent or whether it be their spouse, they love
right.
them enough to clean them.
Right, right.
Because
well, I can dig.
You rise to the occasion for those that you love. The question
yeah.
is, will you love me enough to be there for me when I defecate on myself?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's very true. I agree.
And you
got to
understand, there are some people out there that's not in it for you. They're in it for whatever you can do for them. And no matter how, you know, you get sick, they're going to drop you off in a nursing home and never come visit you, take your checkbook and go for a ride.
Yeah.
But Tracy, by the same token, I think there is some stuff that you need to have a deal breaker that you will not accept, and even if you're married, that you will not accept, and you will break off with the person. I will
no.
break off with somebody.
Like what? What's an
just,
example?
See, breaking up is one thing.
No, breaking up. Let's say somebody, a woman gets hit by her husband hits her. Some women will say it's over.
But that's,
and
see, no, no, no.
That.
See, Stanley, if you hit me, that means you don't like me, so I shouldn't be there anyhow.
Well,
that's some
right. But some people will truly believe that you still got to stay when that happens.
No.
Cheating.
I ain't telling you that.
And cheating, that's another reason. Some people
hold on.
Will say
listen, let me take my break. I'll be right back. I'll leave the mics open. The number is 347-945.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Stan, go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm saying there's some deal breaker for everybody has a different deal breaker, and they need to know what it is. I have mine. I'm sorry. I will not accept somebody who lets herself go physically. because I take care of my temple every day. I can't be with somebody who doesn't do that. And that's not being shallow, because I bring an example of doing that. And if you don't take care of your temple, that tells me a lot about you.
But what if it's a physical problem that they can't keep themselves up?
It's a physical problem. That's a different thing. But that's 98% of the population doesn't have that.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
Oh, you young man.
Okay. You about to hit the big ball, man. Trust me.
38.
Things change a little bit.
Yeah. Look, 38, 185 pounds. 7% of body fat. I train every day. I work out every day, and I can't be with somebody who doesn't take care of a temple. I'm sorry. There's a lot of people who let themselves go physically than just think, oh, I'm in a marriage. I don't need to do anything to be attracted to my partner. I don't need to do any effort. I don't need to whine and you need to keep on doing what you needed to do to keep that person. And a lot of people forget about that.
Hey, Stan, let me ask you a quick question. I was a very physically fit person before. I had, you know, the washboard abs. I worked outside. I was very active. Ever since I had the surgery that I had, I cannot get that way. Most of my energy is gone, and I'm not let go. I mean, I'm not fat by any means whatsoever, but I don't have the muscle tone that I had. I have very little muscle tone anymore. My energy is gone. But yet, if I were to hold my wife to that standard before I had the surgery, and all of a sudden here I am, I'm kind of screwing myself.
But
so,
that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. You had the surgery and you had something. That's not the same thing.
So it's okay.
Two different things. Go ahead.
You're saying it's okay to hold my wife to a standard, but when I have a problem, it all of a sudden is okay for her to let herself go.
I'm saying, let's say your wife used to be in shape and she had an accident and something happened. That's not her fault.
Yeah.
That's not the same standard. Compared to, let's say your wife didn't have an accident and let herself go at just 100 pounds. That's her fault.
Stanley, let me ask you a question right quick, though, my brother. You're about the same age as my son, my oldest son in general. And but what I wanted to ask you was, do you think that I'm assuming you pretty decent physical, specimen in general and stuff. Well, my boys and all play football and everything and, all state and all that stuff and everything. But what I wanted to know was the fact, do you think that your physical physique and everything like that as you are now is always going to be like that? Because it's not, man.
Well, I'm not saying it's not going to be like that, but I'm damn sure going to be more fit than a lot of people who are. That's for sure.
Well, no, I'm not saying you're not fit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Well, all I'm saying is that, how you are now and stuff, it's probably pretty good, I'm imagining, from what you're saying. But you're not always going to be like that. And you're going to want someone that's going to be for you in general. I mean, don't let your happiness, subside you because of the fact you want someone to be maybe like it sounds like you're saying, really a good specimen because you are, I imagine, in general. Don't let that hold you back from being with somebody, man, that cares about you. See, because I'd rather, a question came up before, they'd say a lot of times, would you rather be with someone that you love? You want to be with someone that you love or be with someone that loves you. And me, I think finding someone that loves you is more important, man, because you're not going to be the same way that you were.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree.
And one thing I do know, because I have four older sisters and I got four daughters,
mm-hmm.
There's a weird thing that happens. When a woman gets pregnant, after she gets pregnant, her body goes on steroids.
Sure.
And there are things that happen, and not every woman can get back to that pre-pregnancy state.
That's true.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That is true. More than 5% of the women don't get back to that. Look at a lot of your supermodels and these different parts on TV
And you'll see a lot of them after they start having these kids and stuff. I'm trying to think of a couple off the top of my head, but I'm not going to take all the time right now. I'm thinking it'll come to me a little later. But a few of them I've seen, so they were beautiful, you know, specimens and figures and everything. Start having them kids, man. They picked up like 15, 20 pounds and stuff, and they'll work them. They're not the same, you know.
Pam Greer for one. Pam used to be.
Yeah, Pam Greer. Exactly.
Yeah, Pam had them kids. Pam was still tight, but Pam was not the old Pam from 1970.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but do you know that we live in a generation that more and more people are having weight problem, more and more people are overweight, we're having a big problem with that.
About America.
We live in a society that 50% of Americans are overweight. Let's be honest.
Fat America. Fat America.
They're still living until they're 80.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying we should accept that, and we shouldn't. There's overweight kids. Since when do you hear there's overweight kids? Now it's normally?
Yeah, now it's
normally not overweight kids.
You got a point there with the kids. You're right. A lot of these parents do let their kids go completely, and I hate that.
And one of the things that I'm seeing down here, guys, is the fact that they are banning, you know, all these sugary drinks and stuff that inside of the school. You can't smell them. You can't have them inside the school. But my wife teaches third grade, and she says they can't get them in the school, but their parents send them to school, man, with two Mountain Dews, you know, to a Honey Bun and a bag of Skittles.
Yeah,
and that's lunch.
Agree with you. I mean, that's very true. But you know, I say this. You know, like I'm, you know, 60 some years old now, and the thing of it is, I think back. I was just talking to a couple of my friends that I happened to was blessed to grow up with and stuff, and they're still here. You know, still living and stuff like that. We grew up from little guys and stuff. The fact that you know, and I think back, maybe it's not as bad then as it is now. But guys, I can't lie to you. I ate a lot of candy and stuff, man. I mean, my mom, you know, made great meals and stuff. But, you know, I'm guilty of the fact, you know, that I ate a lot of candy and stuff in general and stuff like that. So I don't know. But I do think American children are heavier than what they should be. Like I said, there was a program on called Fat America, you know, just showing how weight that our children and not only our children, but our parents is and stuff, man.
But we used to go outside, man, and play in the woods, and when I turned 12 years old, my stepdad let me go out and work with him, and you know, on the log truck, and I mean, I spent the whole summer out there, man, working hard in the woods and walking around and riding my bike, but nowadays, man, just even down here, on Christmas morning, I remember there used to be kids all in the street with bikes. This
there
Christmas, I saw one kid riding a bike on Christmas morning.
You're absolutely right. I have to agree with you there. I have to agree with you totally on what you just said right there. Yeah, it's not the same, South Carolina. It's not the same, man. It's not the same, nowhere near the way it was for you and for me and stuff, you know, coming up. Now, I agree with you because I remember what you just said is so true because when I lived in Philadelphia, I came from Philadelphia to here, you know, and stuff. And we used to do that. That was right. You know, Christmas morning and stuff, man, you get a new bike or something, and the whole street where I lived at, well, you could see kids out there riding and stuff. But now, that's a thing of the past. They just don't do it, man. I don't know what's wrong.
I would tell you what, I remember, you know, the house that I lived in when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We had to walk. We had to get up and walk to school from the house and where I was at. Now, the kids they don't walk to school anymore. You have to live almost in front of the school to walk to school. We used to have to walk, man.
Absolutely.
But they don't do that. They catch the bus, you know?
These don't want to walk nowhere, man. We used to walk, and even South Carolina, it's a funny thing, man, because people, you know, these kids, they just don't want to do nothing for it. They don't want to walk nowhere, man. We would get up, and if winter day, that's why I laugh today. These kids get all these days off, man, bad weather. Hey, South Carolina, I know you know as well, is that, man, they didn't care. Parents didn't care about to get your butt up. get on to that school, man. Be cold as all hell out there. Get on down there to that school, and you walk your behind down there too, and walk back home.
Yep.
Kids got buses.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I just laugh now, so I just laugh. I say, man, these kids don't want to do nothing. They don't want to walk no. They don't want to do nothing. All they want to do is sit in front of the TV playing with these Xboxes and all this mess, man, that I don't know what these kids are doing. I love them, but I think the way they're going is kind of the right way. But I blame a lot of it, to say this in closing, I blame a lot of it in general on the fact that I've always been a strong believer of it, and me and Trace talked about it before, and Jeff, I just think that parents now, these kids are too young.
Yeah.
They just don't have no base because they're young to really show the ones, and then they're having kids. And so you just have that base that it's not there now, South Carolina. I've always believed that, and I still live with that belief, man. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
South Carolina, I ain't going to hold up the time or anything. I know we just talking to stuff. I guess we'll get back in with Tracy
okay.
and stuff. But I'm listening, brother. I enjoy, you know, some of the things you be saying. Sometimes me and you don't agree on a few things, but it's all right. It's all right to disagree, you know. It's all right to disagree. It makes good conversation, and we both learn something from each other. I learned something, you know, from you and Tracy and stuff, and I hope that I say maybe a word or two that maybe give somebody out as well. That's for sure.
Okay.
Come back in here. Listen to you,
all
my
righty.
Brother. All righty.
Okay, man. Hey, Stanley. Stanley, you there?
Sounds like he dropped off.
Oh, there
we
go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there he is.
Are you guys behaving?
Hey. Oh, yeah. You are really behaving.
Okay.
We were talking about chitlin' when they were little and how they used to ride the bike and how kids don't ride bikes no more.
Well, you know.
No, people with DUIs now ride bikes.
And listen, we were talking about relationships, and, you know, I got to throw this in here. We have somehow, during the test of time, we have lost something. We've lost our money. We've lost our morals. We've lost our values. We've lost our faith. We've lost what we know. And I don't know if we could ever go back and get it, but we need to at least try to find some of it. I said before I went to break, Pianki put something in the chat room, and Tide was 17 cents for a large box. A friend of mine, Bill, in Facebook, he said, well, you know, now it's concentrated, so it's actually 59 cents for a large box of Tide. Well, when you go to Sam's Club, which is supposed to give you the best bargain for your buck, Sam's Club, when you go there, it's $19, and you got to have a membership. Mark, you're the math guy here. You're the bright guy in the room. 17%, isn't that 1%?
You hear the story about the guy that made a lot of money.
Okay.
This guy was an absolute total loser in high school. He was a complete jerk, a real dip, and just a goof-off in every possible way. He shows up at the 20-year class reunion. He comes in this mammoth limousine. The guy's a billionaire. And when he met some of the classmates, they knew what a goof-off he was in school, and they said to him, how'd you make all your money? He says, I make 1% on everything that I sell. And they said, what do you mean you make 1%? He says, I buy it for a dollar and sell it for two, 1%. I'm that guy. I mean, I don't make rich, but the percentage, my checkbook hasn't balanced in 50 years.
Wait a minute now. That's not right.
I think so, because look at me. But I think that's one. Isn't that 1%?
No, a penny is 1% of the dollar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'd be 100%.
Five
for one, sell for two. It's 100%.
No, I'm talking about if you go from $17 to 17 cents.
Uh-huh.
What is that?
To what?
Is that 1,000%?
That's 1,000%.
1,000%.
Yeah. So you're telling me that Tide went up 1,000% in 50 years?
But it's new and improved.
Yeah. and it's friendly on the environment.
April Fresh.
That's right.
April
it
Fresh.
It has fresh scent now.
Well, what did it have then?
Toxic hazard.
I mean, seriously, guys?
It had phosphorus in it.
Clorox was only 10 cents.
You could go down and wash your clothes in the Mahoning River. The bubbles are there. I mean,
you got that right.
Oh, I got it.
Tracy, they don't even sell Red Devil Lye now.
Woo!
Red Devil Lye.
Lye.
Lye. They make lye soap out of.
Come on, Tracy.
No, before my time, guys.
Oh, no, Tracy.
Yes, Al.
We're the same age now.
We're not the same age. I don't know nothing about no Red Devil Lye. No.
Tracy, you know, the city girl.
You know, I feel like this. Do you know about Octagon soap?
No.
You don't know anything about Argo starch?
Argo starch. I still use that. Yep. Know what that is.
You don't eat it, do you?
I used to.
Hey, listen. I have yet to meet a woman that knows about it, that does not eat it.
And actually,
now,
you can still buy it. You can still buy it today.
Yeah. All it is cornstarch.
No, I don't know, because I iron with it. You know, it works.
Yeah. But I
got to throw this into the mix. Bob, go ahead and tell your story before I get to the post office.
I just got a question. We've got controversy here in Youngstown with the dumping of brine in the Mahoning River.
Yeah.
Now, we can't dump brine in the Mahoning River, but we can spread it all over the highway, and that won't get in the water system. They just had it on the news today about how the salt and brine that they spread on the highways affects your car. Okay, now we can't dump brine in the river, but we can spray brine on all the highways in the state of Ohio.
Wait a minute. That's not what they use to treat the roads for wintertime, is it?
Yeah.
Brine.
And beet juice.
What?
Yeah, and beet juice.
What? I don't know. What's the beet juice?
It's the same stuff. It's the same thing.
Whoa, guys, because I got to have a common sense moment here. I'm confused.
If the state does it, it's okay. If a private citizen does it, the EPA steps in.
So the brine is nothing but salt water or treatment water that they actually spray on the roads, so when they treat the roads for the wintertime.
You've ever been behind one of those big trucks?
Yes.
It's sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride.
Same thing.
Yep. So what's the big deal?
Well, it won't get in the water system if you spray it on the roads.
So if that's the case, why don't we ask Texas, okay, if we don't like fracking because of the water and the brine, why don't we take the brine, put it in the truck, and put it on the road?
Actually, there's companies that'll do that. They take the stuff from the fracking and they do something with it, and they get it, then they throw it on the roads. That, you know, that's recycled. Listen, the answer to your question is very simple. Bob Hagen can't get in front of the cameras and pontificate about it with the salt on the roads.
Most dangerous place to be in the United States between a camera and Bob Hagen.
Oh, you guys are rude.
Mr. Bob, he didn't know who I was. Hagen. That's a quote from Bob Hagen. He just didn't know who I was. You don't remember when he got beat up downtown Youngstown? He quoted that on TV in
all
front
I know,
of camera.
All I know is there's a lesson. There's a lesson in that. I remember that it was at the Lemon Grove.
Yeah.
Don't curse at somebody's mama. That could get you hit.
It did.
You know, seriously, it's a teachable moment.
But
don't cuss at somebody's mama.
He actually said maybe he didn't know who I was, and I said maybe he did.
Hold
that's
on,
right.
Guys. 259, you're on the air.
Sorry, Mark, can I be the baby?
Hello?
Sorry, sir. Johnny?
They got the cougar.
They do?
Betcha.
A family.
So clean.
Oh, you?
My mother?
Greenland. Okay.
Sally?
Yeah.
You hit the button that you wanted to talk, and now we hear your conversation.
Oh my!
How?
Man.
Sorry.
Hey, what's
that was my family. My mom. I guess they couldn't get the signal in on. She. I got her a tablet. And I guess she can't get the signal on. And and King Gaihart, and so she decided to call in and then hit the speakerphone.
I got a Magic Jet Plus now.
What is a Magic Jet Plus?
Does it work for
you? What is a Magic Jet Plus?
Yeah, it plugs into your computer and gives you a telephone.
Oh, Magic Jack.
Yeah, but it won't let me call your internet number.
Really?
I can only call you on your
local
number.
Really?
Yeah, it tells me I have to pay for it or something. I have to.
Yeah, I think that's a trunk. I think all the numbers from Blog Talk are trunk numbers. Yeah, I'm in a big bank, and all those numbers are being banked up and used. So, yeah, it'll probably charge you.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the lucky person. I've had no problems with my Magic Jack Plus.
Yeah.
They said there was five easy steps, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I was online working. I mean,
it's plugged into the computer?
Well, I got the Plus. It can plug into the computer or the modem.
Okay.
So by plugging it into the modem, you don't have to leave the computer on.
Okay.
Do you lose your 911 capability?
Not with the Plus.
I
had to register my address with the number, and I have 911 capability.
You know what, though? I think you have 911 on your phone line, even if it's disconnected, no?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
I thought that was a law. Yeah.
You do on your phone line if you have a hard line phone. But most people don't have a hard line phone.
I don't know about the Magic Jack, but the Magic Jack Plus, when I registered, one of the things I had to do is this. If I wanted 911, I had to register my address with this number.
Okay, because I know I use Vonage, and Vonage is the same way.
Now hold on a second, now, Tracy. If I'm your ad executive, who gonna pay the advertising dollars for what y'all just did? Vonage, Magic Jack? Come on, that's $500 worth of advertising right there.
I'm working on it. You want a job? Because I need a salesperson. Anybody out there looking for a job, I need a salesperson. I really do. Because we have the ability to sell. I just don't have the time to sell like I need to. So if anybody's out there that wants a job, I got a job for them.
If I was out there,
you can sell from South Carolina, South Carolina. I can work that out.
Oh,
we're
really?
Global.
Okay.
Terrestrial.
That's right.
Absolutely. We're global.
WWW.
I want to talk about the economy a little bit. Where in the world have we come into this mindset that everything is free and no one pays for anything?
It's getting worse instead of better, and it's getting overt instead of better. I've got people stealing my shrubs.
What?
Well, we're getting free health care, right?
No, but why would you go in somebody's yard and steal their shrubs?
Because they didn't want to buy them.
I've had a couple of instances where people have actually come in and taken my stuff. I mean, and these are people without even going who ought to know better. And, you know, it just gets very discouraging after a while. But that's the mentality we're coming to. I want what you have. Give it to me.
Because I asked that, you know, the Governor Kasich came out with a budget earlier this week for the state of Ohio. And what we fail to realize, some of us do, that states must have a budget, and it must budget every year. They must be on task every year.
You mean like the federal government?
No, not like the federal government. The government can go years without a budget, and no one says anything. But the state government cannot do that. And so he came up with a budget, and he came out of way of he wants to do tax. He's cutting taxes. He's growing the economy, and he wants to go after schools to where schools are going to be able to fund themselves better in the state of Ohio. And it was very, very clear and concise in how he did it, and very, very masterful in some things that he did. But now
he wants lawyers to charge sales tax.
Hold on, I'm getting to that, Mark. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Well, I don't like paying tax on my hair and nails. I don't like paying tax on my personal items. But they also want to charge taxes on funerals.
Yeah.
So people, you're dead. I don't care.
Tax on
he got rid of the estate tax. I'll go with the tax on funerals because he got rid of the estate tax.
Okay. And so what's wrong with taxing a funeral?
It's commerce.
Tracy, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. That's ridiculous.
Why is that wrong?
Come on now.
Why not tax the funeral? If you can spend $20,000 on a funeral, you ought to deal tax on it.
Oh, okay.
Why is a funeral $20,000?
Let me ask you this then. Why don't they put sales tax on the birth? You go to the hospital and have the baby? They won't give you the baby unless you pay the sales tax.
No, we'd have a lot of babies left behind.
Yeah, could they put a lien on it?
Could put a lien on the baby.
They put a lien on the baby?
Yeah.
Well, from what I hear, there's a lien on everyone born in America anyhow, so it won't make a difference.
Is it called the $16 trillion debt?
But Tracy, don't you guys see that nothing's changing, though? I mean, we've heard this now for how long? How long have we, as a country and the media, has been saying, you know, even before the election, maybe we can go back before that. It's just been like a never-ending story. It's like Groundhog Day. They just talk about it, and it never ends. Nothing changes. Nothing is ever finished. Nothing's ever finished. It's like they're building a house that never gets finished.
Well,
you know?
they're building a house on sand because they're not being honest about the house that they're building.
No,
they're building
a house on someone else's money.
The American public
doesn't fully understand what's coming. And I keep harping about it, and I keep talking about it, and slowly but surely it is working its way into the news stories where they're taking a look at what's going to happen going into the end of this year and into 2014 with Obamacare. When that hits the fan, you're going to see people in this country come to a very fast realization what in God's name is going on, because it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare bureaucratically, and it's going to be worse when people lose their health care. When I watch that guy, the president, look in the camera and say, if you have your current health care plan, you're going to keep it. Anyone that could take 5 minutes and look up the section in that proposed piece of legislation knew he was lying. I've never seen a president lie like that to the American public, not since Richard Nixon. Not even Bill Clinton lied the way this man looked at the camera and lied.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Now, come on now.
He was making nuance. There's no nuance with this one that's in Washington right now. He lied.
He lied to
the public.
What I think is going to be the scariest thing?
What's that?
I think it's the diagnosis that are going to be coming up that are going to be part of the regulation of the new health care plan. You know, we don't know what that's about yet.
Well, from my understanding, because I'm talking to some physicians, you know, they got this quality of life thing going in.
Death panels?
No, before you even get to death panels, you know, if you are a smoker, if you are in an undesirable patient, your doctor's going to have to take you. And we're
undesirable?
Not only undesirable patient, huh?
Okay, now that puts you in a little bit different category, because let me tell you about black males. We are prone to hypertension, okay? So, therefore, we are high risk already. So, what are they going to do? Stop us from getting the care we need because we're high risk?
Social Security is already racially biased.
What will happen is you will get a substandard care because they're not going to let the doctors do what's necessary, and the doctors are going to get paid based upon the quality of care. And so, from my understanding, it's really going to be I'm going to select those people who are going to be the best patients to care for.
If that doesn't sound like Hitler's Germany, I don't know what it does.
Well, Social Security is racially biased. Because of the black men you know, the hypertension and everything like that, your life expectancy is less. And therefore, your chances of collecting Social Security as long as others is not the same.
Wow.
He's right.
Wow.
He's right, because the longevity of it. Hey, Stanley, your mic is on also. The longevity pay. I mean, you think about it. You pay into it, but you don't keep it as long because of...
Wait until they get a hold of your banking institution, and they're going to have access to your checking and savings account.
Hey, dude,
it's in the bill.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something on that. You know, you want to start waking up Americans, you start taking their hard-earned cold cash. Okay? You take their guns, they might fight you. But you take their money, they're going to kill you.
But Tracy, the problem I'm hearing from everybody, how can we have the right to live if we don't have the right to health care?
The right to live?
Yeah.
Apparently, people have been living for 200 years in this country.
Yeah,
and they've been living very well. Yes, they have.
How can we have the right to live in a society without the right to health care?
Apparently, you got people... Just like Bonnie was telling you about it, those people in Appalachia, they lived and survived without a doctor. Sometimes they didn't see a doctor for 6, 8 months, sometimes a year, and they survived.
South Carolina, what are those people? Why are you comparing the lowest class country in the world? We're not those people. America. We're not those people. Why are you comparing with the lowest? Why don't you compare yourself with the best country in the world? Don't compare me to fucking Africa, to the worst country there is in the world. Compare yourself to the best country in the world. Japan, France, Germany, Canada, those countries. Don't compare me with Apple. Don't compare me with the low-end country. You want to make a comparison? Make it Apple to Apple. Don't compare to fucking those places.
Anybody?
And please answer that question. If we have the right to live, how come we don't have the right to health care? How can you have the right to live and no right to health care? Please answer that.
You know what? Stanley, I have a right to health care. I have a right to go and purchase health care, and I have a right to go and collect on that health care.
Not if you have preconditioned conditions telling you no, you can't.
I have preconditioned conditions.
You know, you call your insurance companies and say, sorry, sir, you can't have that. Sorry, sir, you can't have that. You're all acting like it's not going to happen.
Stanley, you can get health care with pre-existing conditions. Maybe not through an insurance company, but you can get it.
Yeah, but everybody does it through an insurance company, Matt.
No, not everybody does.
A lot of people do.
Most people do, yes, but not everybody.
No, but a lot of people do, and I'm talking about those people.
Hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680.
We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I don't know what happened, but I got booted off somehow, so I had to go call back in. So we're back up live again. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Matt, South Carolina, Stanley, I think that's Michigan, and Alex is all, and Bonnie, they're all on the phone live. In studio, I have Mark and Bob, and we're just having a conversation about Mark's upset because they're going to tax on legal fees now. I'm saying they ought to tax the dead.
They already did.
I mean,
called inheritance tax.
Hello.
Yeah, hold on, but that's just crazy.
They're taxing money that was already taxed.
I know. That's not a tax. That's a robbery. Inheritance tax is robbery. You're robbing dead man's graves. That's my feeling about it. How dare me work as hard as I work and you take as much as you take from my children because I want to leave it to them? That's robbery.
I'm going to throw a whole big loop in this only because...
Don't go there because we got the calls coming in. Don't go left.
Okay, I'm not going left.
Okay.
But I was... Okay, you're going to get me. I was reading Genesis. This is going to... I'm going to be... You know, I was reading in Genesis about Joseph and you know, sold into slavery and in prison. And
right.
And this came to me... Why is not the welfare system considered slavery?
Bob, get a key.
You had to go there.
Stay there. Don't go there. Not yet. We're not there yet. We're going to take this slow. We've done really good today. Hold on, Stanley. Hold on, Stanley. Take it slow.
Not part of the economy.
Take it slow. We're going to crescendo up the hill before I become a sociopath. So, there was someone before you, Stanley. I think who said hello. Is that Michigan or is that Philadelphia?
I'm calling from Philadelphia. Somebody made a comment about the healthcare system in Canada and England. In Canada, you have to wait for a long period of time to have different types of surgeries. And a lot of people who are in Canada, they usually have to leave Canada to have any type of serious type of surgery performed. They usually have to come to America, or they have to go to some other country to have their surgeries performed. That also happens in the country of England. They have to go out to like different places like India to have any type of serious types of surgeries performed.
The nationalized programs are, see, the difference between other countries and us in America is that we have already become spoiled into a certain quality of health. We, instead of revamping the system the way they did, they should have reshaped it to where we have community centers, we have community health programs that were on a sliding scale. They should have made those type of places available through whatever system that they wanted to make them through, so that people were paying based upon their income and regulating the insurance companies. This is just according to Tracy. The United States of America, for the most part, has the best healthcare system in the world. We just have a problem with people using the healthcare system for their own usury. You don't go to the emergency room for a birth control, or not birth control, but for a pregnancy test.
Anytime the government gets involved in a system like healthcare, they're always going to ration care down to a certain level. So if you are a person who is elderly, it's going to be very difficult for you to get certain types of procedures performed because you're not at an ideal age that the government would consider. So, you know, those types of people are going to have to petition the government if they need things like a hip replacement or, you know, like other types of procedures.
But see, and I'm going to bring in Chicago because I hear his voice. I think that's him. But we have to also understand, when you look at healthcare, when you look at the economy, when we talk about quality of life care, if you are overweight and you need a kidney, you may not get that kidney or that knee replacement because of your weight, not because of your health. Go ahead, Chicago.
That's undesirable.
Chicago, was that you? Who just called my name out, Tracy? Who was that?
It was me.
Okay, me. Go ahead.
It was Stanley. I'm listening to what you're saying. First of all, if we're going to go Canada, France, and everything, Canada has both systems, the private system and the public system. So you could still get all of the HIPAA operations, the things like you're saying, in the private one if you have to wait. Second of all, they don't have the problem in here that if you get basically an operation that you have to pay a debt of $250,000, $120,000. We have that problem here. They don't. You don't have people saying to them, sorry, you can't have those operations, this and that, because of precondition. We have it here. They don't.
But what I'm saying is we are not England. We are not England. And what I'm saying is if right now you are right about having pre-existing health care. You're right about us, how we have treated people in the past. And that's what's wrong. I agree. But what I'm saying is the fixing of the problem is not going to be where we're headed. And that's my issue. The issue was not that we do not have a problem, because we did. And I tell Republicans often, if you knew that there was a problem, you should have dealt with it. And they didn't.
But even the people in Canada, even if they're in the public system, it's more cost effective for them to come to America to have their surgeries performed and stay in the private system in Canada.
The majority of it. Hold on. Between the two of you, it depends on the procedure that you're looking for. This is the issue, and we need to be honest about this. The people that have will always be able to get what they need. It is those of us who have not who are going to have the problems, because we're going to be dependent on something, and we're not going to be able to go anywhere else.
Not only that, but the middle class and particularly young people in the middle class, are going to be the ones who are going to bear the brunt of the cost that's coming down the pike.
So working poor.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to tax, and a lot of the stuff's backdoor stuff. It's going to be the people who are you know, the waiters and the servers and the people who are going to have to get their, whose jobs are going to get cut back to 28 hours a week, working two jobs with no health care, and they're going to have to go out and they're going to have to buy it.
We're not paying attention to the dependent. I want everyone to understand. The post office should not be in the situation that it's in today, being as old as it is. And it is a government system.
Yeah. The reason why it's that way because it's not cost effective.
Listen to what I'm saying. It's not cost effective, but you understand, we should, being that they regulated the post office into where they are. See, this all happens with regulation. They put the same regulations on the postal system as they did on the state of Ohio with workman's compensation about having to have 100% of your employees self-insured.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was just stupid. So why would you have 100% of all of your posts? Do you know how big the post office is, how many employees, and how uncommon it would be for everybody to go out at the same time for workman's compensation? Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if you actually look at the legislation with the post office, the reason why they're hemorrhaging is they're paying for retirement for people who aren't even born yet, you know, and so they have to pay billions of dollars, and that's the reason. I mean, no company would be able to sustain that, and so. The other thing is they can't, then on the other end, because of regulation, they can't even adjust their prices because their pricing by law is locked in to the government's fallacious CPI, inflation index, which is totally, you know, just bogus. So they can't, which is why they can never raise their stamp prices more than, you know, maybe a cent or two because of the CPI. But you see, if you look at all their prices for everything out that's not domestic, it's gone up by 100 to 200% because they're trying to offset those costs. Because that's because the real inflation is like 10% a year, you know. But they're masking that from us, you know.
And do we understand that we're paying 50 cents to mail something in the mail? So every time I send you a card, I send you 50 cents. Every time I pay a bill,
you don't send them 50 cents. It costs you 50 cents, and it goes in someone else's pocket, not the person you're sending it.
That just doesn't make sense.
You know, by the same token, you know, I don't mail much anymore.
I wasn't going there.
That's true.
You got online pay billing.
My bills are paid online. I get my bills online.
When's the last letter you wrote to someone?
I still use stamps.
You know, the thing about it, though, people say that the, you know, like their revenues are down because people aren't using mail, but if they were allowed to operate like a business, I mean, granted that's the case, but if they were allowed to actually operate like a business, businesses adjust. They either adjust their prices or their services accordingly to meet the demand, but they're not allowed to do that because of the government regulation, and so they just continue hemorrhaging.
It was bad regulation.
They're hemorrhaging. On a bad year, $3 billion a year. $3 billion that comes right off the top that they can't even put into their business to help it grow. That's going straight into the coffers.
But
that doesn't make any sense.
But let me say this. This happens because of bad business management from the government. The government is not running the post office as a business. It's running it as a hobby.
Just like they're running the government, period.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm running into the healthcare issue.
And that also applies to Amtrak as well. That's the reason why the country doesn't have a high-speed rail, whereas places do.
Same thing. Whether it be high-speed rail, whether it be anything that the federal government touches, it goes to crap.
Next time you're talking to my son Tracy, ask him about his experience with his student loans and the missing payments.
No.
It was a disaster.
No. I liked your son.
It was a disaster. They've changed their processing houses. These are quasi government agencies that, you know, he's taken it out of the banks, the president's student loans. And now they have these quasi government agencies that are acting as the collection points for the student loans. I think he's been out of school for 2.5-3 years now. I think they've changed 3 times. They lost 4 of his payments. 4. They're not there because they withdrew automatically from his checking account and, you know, made the payments every month. Unbelievable. He finally threw up his hands. He says, I don't know what else to do. So I said, I'll call them up. I called these people up on the telephone. And I'm talking to some babe down in Oklahoma.
You got through.
I got through. They got through. The problem is she wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. She kept telling me what she wanted the problem to be rather than allowing me to tell her what the problem was. And finally I just said, dear God, why don't you just be quiet for 2 minutes and let me talk?
Try this sometime. You know, I can't hear myself talk while you're talking.
Let me ask this. So she was calling in the Tracy Show, huh? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hold on. 626, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to add. I'm not going to stay on the line long, but I just wanted to add. I think this is like a preaching to the choir type conversation where, you know, I guess GOP supporting people. And I'm not against you. I'm just going just saying GOP type people. You guys already have this view about Obamacare and all the problems. But I think for other people, it's an issue that it was an election issue. People moved on from it. There's other important things. You know, I think you guys can continue to try to, you know, scratch each other's back on this subject.
Can I ask you a question?
It's a dead end.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, yes.
There, you have to understand, whether it be Republican or Democrat, you're in America, and whatever happens to one, it's going to happen to both. And we need to make sure that we are cognizant, because I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately.
Sure, I went this morning.
Okay. Then you understand that you're bringing home less items for more money, and they're changing the packages so that you don't realize that you're taking home less when the same 5-pound bag of sugar looks the same, but you're only bringing home 4 pounds for the same cost.
Half a gallon ice cream.
Tracy, my wife paid $4.50 for a package of Dream Whip.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where you have to understand. I went to the store the other day, and they don't make 5-pound bags of sugar anymore. They're 4-pound bags of sugar, but the cost is the same. You may not think it's important. This is not about partisan politics right now today. This is about, no matter, bad legislation is bad legislation, and it's going to slap everybody the same way.
The frustration it's coming from is that this has not been reported. It's only now starting to get out.
But wait,
how
wait,
bad
wait.
This is going to be.
And that is a problem. And if you don't see there being a problem here, because this is not about Obama.
Yeah.
It's not about Obama. This is about the American public and those of us who have to go to the IRS and pay.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is, like I said, you're preaching to the choir. You're taking
this is not
position.
Listen, I'm not preaching to the choir. But no, I don't have to, because I'm not going to let you hijack my show with some crazy stuff today. What I'm saying is, people don't understand what is actually coming to a home near you and your mailbox.
Remember, we had to pass it before we read it.
And people have no idea what's in it.
So
we didn't even realize.
Conclusion. You're making the conclusion that because you paid what you paid for the $4 sugar, you're making a conclusion that has to do with Obamacare. And
no,
most
sweetheart.
Analysis,
you're,
is
listen,
that what you're making
dig,
the conclusion?
No, what I'm saying is dig deeper. What I'm saying is, the government does not run anything well. You cannot name any program that is government funded that runs well, including your education
that's
system.
In the black.
You cannot tell me anything.
And they don't do it well because they have the regulation in place, and it doesn't allow them. But hold on.
Hold on, Sal. Enterprise.
Okay. But wait a minute. Hold on. But the regulation is made by the bureaucrats who are part of the problem, who made the regulation, who actually are taking care of the problem. Who in the world regulates the entity that you call the post office into bankruptcy and you put the policy in place?
Be it Republican or Democrat.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Tracy, here's the thing that I find very hypocritical about the statement that Covina Man is making. For 8 years, and for another 4 years during the first term of Barack Obama, all we heard about was Bush, okay, and the policies that he made. Now we're discussing a legislation that's going to affect the entire nation, and they're saying, "Shut up, you lost. Go on about your business. Quit talking about it."
I didn't even get to make my point. I got you did. I didn't even make a point.
No.
You made your point.
You made your point. The direction you're heading in is you lost the election. Go down. Go sit down. Have a Coke, smile, and shut up. And that's it.
No, we're not going to shut up.
We're not going to shut up because the legislation is bad for America.
Right. No, you can talk all you want to. I'm just saying. I just said this was a preaching to the choir type conversation.
But guess what?
That's what you guys do.
Listen, you got to come in a minute. Get this. That's why it's called Tracy and Friends. And our conversation that I wanted it to go in today, I wanted to have a conversation that was going to be cerebral, that's going to make people who are listening in to keep their eyes open. I'm not trying to shake all the berries from the tree. I'm just trying to get people to see the berries on the tree so they know which ones are good and which ones are bad.
I'm not trying to get into
a confrontational fight every day.
Can I say something to him?
Yes, go ahead, Bonnie.
Well, Covino Man, I remember just some history of your calling before, and I think you work for, am I correct, that you help in a group where you're working with some young men that have problems at home?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true, yes.
Okay, all right. So, and I'm not being critical because I've worked where there's been places to help children, and usually it's federally funded or state funded. The programs.
Yeah.
Am I right so far?
Yeah, the counties. Yeah, the county part.
Okay. Now, do you or do you not see a whole bunch of need, a whole bunch of things that are not happening within your place of work, just yours, that's funded by the government?
That's an open-ended question. What are you saying?
No, that's a close-ended question.
No, but in general, I'm like, what do you
see a need?
There's a need everywhere.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. Let me simplify this because she's very, very kind in her words. Tell me you do not see the holes in the system that they need to fix that would actually rehabilitate those children instead of just putting a patchwork and marching them through the system.
Okay.
And keeping them in the system.
Yeah, 100%.
And keeping them in the system.
It's a government run.
Absolutely.
And making money off of those children. Making money off of those poor children. The agency, without that agency, all of those children's help.
What I'm saying is we are going to have to stop keeping our blinders on, thinking that the government is functioning as it should, but when every time the government touches anything, it makes it a failure.
From local to national.
All the way up the system. Not even, listen, you have law enforcement, but right now they're trying to find a cop in L.A. who's going around shooting people.
Yeah, I hope he comes by my house. I'm going to give him some ammo.
You understand.
He got a manifesto.
What I'm saying is we need to understand that everything that the government touches, it breaks. So why do we keep on handing stuff to the government? And now we have handled my health care. My health is now in the hands of the government.
And we fixed the problem for all 3 million people.
Hey, Trace.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Reggie.
No, I just wanted to say in general, you guys kind of beating up on my buddy right there. I think he's right in a lot of what he's saying. The thing that I find is very just interesting all the time is when we're in these type of discussions is the fact you never heard, and it's been said, I've listened to Reverend Sharpton and a few people on his show and stuff, said the same thing, all these things about the government, et cetera, that they're not doing this and they ain't running the government right and stuff like that. Well, this is nothing new. And the degree that this is has taken since this man has become president, it's unbelievable.
Reg, how long you been listening to me?
Well, I know, Trace, but I'm just saying.
Reg, how long have you? No, Reg, how long have you been listening? How long, Reg? How long have you been listening to me on the air?
About 3 or 4 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Reg, I've been on 7 years.
Okay,
Tell me that you have not heard this conversation every time you tune in.
Every time we discuss it, and I hear your, you know, fellow speakers on, you know, on your show discuss it.
Have I not been saying the same thing? Has my conversation changed?
Well, say, since this man has become president, hey, realize something, Trace. It's only one man.
Reg, you're trying to take up for Barack Obama, Kazi Black. What I'm saying is, has the conversation changed? Because, see, I really don't care about the color of his skin anymore because I think it's really great that we put a black man in, but right now I think that black man's screwing America. I got issues with him,
and
I'm just going to tell you that I do. What I'm saying is, today is not the Barack Obama beat-up day. That's not what I said. I said the government in its totality. Right now, your post office is going belly up.
Well, then pass that on to your people that's there.
What do you think I'm talking about? No, Reg. No. Your post office across the board.
Yeah.
Do you know how many tax dollars were taken out of the city of Youngstown when they changed the distribution center downtown Youngstown and sent it to Pittsburgh, and they did not keep it here like Pittsburgh needs more jobs?
We're not talking about that.
Yes, we were.
To beat up the fact of the black man.
I'm not talking about Barack Obama today. I'm talking about the government. Barack Obama is not the government.
The people is, baby. Your people is.
Right, and what I'm saying is the people sitting down on the job, giving it over to a bunch of bureaucrats, and nothing's getting done. And they're sliding us across the fence, and we are not making it happen. And until we wake up and quit putting our heads in the sand, we're going to lose.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah,
you know, you may not like what I'm about to say, and some of your listeners may not either, but I've almost come to the conclusion that there's, you know, a lot of this stuff we should just try to make money off of off of government, you know, because it's like you can almost invest, and I have actually, you can almost invest and make a lot of money just looking at what the government does. I'm trying to figure out how to make money off of the coming bust of the post office, the student loan program, because I don't know if you've seen the numbers, but over 25% are delinquent on the loans. I'm trying to figure out how to make some money off of this, just like, you know, some of my friends made money off of the housing bubble, off of, you know, all these things, like, I could tell you, like, the fact that Barack Obama was denying people natural gas companies from exporting, I bought stock in the only company that could export because they stock went through the roof. So like, it's these things that the government just messes stuff up so much, it's like, you know what, we need to just start making money off of them.
Hey, brother, I think you're late to the show. The whole not this show, but it's late to the idea. The whole idea is to privatize whatever it is to make money. That's what they're trying to do.
But
your government
is not designed to be a private entity. It's not supposed to be a nationalist company.
It's not there to make money.
It's not supposed to be. Yes.
Yeah.
Who's hello? Yeah.
I think what you that's after Covino, man. See, what we have to understand is the government is a capitalist corporation. And
Michigan, hold on. Please don't go off too far. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so this issue I'm getting right to your point of keep bringing up the government, the government, the government. The reason you're not going to get rid of the government or even downsize it is because it is one of the largest employers in this country.
Yes.
And all the way down the chain of command of the government, from the federal to the state to the non-governmental organizations down to your social services, these are all middle-class jobs.
Exactly.
Do you know what you would do to this economy to get rid of that stuff?
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is, when you look at a deficit that is in $16 trillion, when you look at the growing number of entitlement programs and the growth of it, when you talk about downsizing, and eventually companies go bankrupt when they turn upside down. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay. The government can only print so much money until it becomes like Zimbabwe or Greece. Our government right now is blowing in inflation exponentially, and they're not telling us. They have taken food and fuel out of the inflation, the market index. So when we talk about these things, people need to open up their eyes and see where we're headed. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that, Tracy.
Hold on. And so today's conversation is just about the awakening of a sleeping giant called the people, who are supposed to be the government, but they're letting bureaucrats, no matter what party they're in, spin like drunken sailors. And we, in the end, we who are sitting here on the air, who do not have our ducks in a row, we are the ones who are going to be affected by their spending, by their legislation, and because remember, they've taken all of themselves out of the system.
But Tracy, I think we had the sleeping giant. It was in November. It slapped me inside of the face.
This is not.
That was the sleeping giant.
You know what? I'm hanging up on you because I'm not doing the I hate Obama today. This is not about Obama. The whole world does not revolve around President Barack Obama.
Now, that's a very true statement.
The world revolves around a whole lot of other people outside of Barack Obama. I love y'all. Okay, you won. God bless you.
Yeah.
Now we have him for another 4 years. But I promise you, in 4 years, he's going to be gone, and you're going to be holding the bag of whatever happens between now and then.
So the schizophrenia is only one schizophrenia, and that's this. The government is a corporation. The problem is it doesn't produce anything, and so it's always in. No, I'm agree. I mean, it is what it is. It doesn't produce anything, and it's getting bigger as a corporation, and it doesn't produce anything.
But the problem in the lack of production of anything, every time they run out of money, they print it. And then they raise the cost of everything. Just like we said a little bit earlier, a box of Tide in 1950 was 17 cents. A box of Tide in 2013 is $19. I rounded down to $17 for easy math. That's 1,000%. Are we not paying attention?
Well, let's add minimum wage to that.
What'd you say?
8%. That's 8% inflation annually.
That's crazy, Alex.
That's compound interest.
That's crazy.
Well, your inflation, like they say it's only between 1% and 3%, but just if you look at that, what you just said, or a loaf of bread, like it was a nickel and now it's like $3 or whatever. If you do the math, it comes out to 7 to 8% inflation.
You can't continue to live like this.
Here's where the compromise has to come.
You can't even get a pay raise 8% in most jobs.
No.
This is where the compromise is going to have to be. Because the government does not produce a product, it is going to have to be downsized. But the compromise has to be, what are you going to do? Now, I'm talking about the private sector, which are the creators, not job creators, but they are job creators, but that produce products. and the government, where what are you going to do with the middle class that is produced from the social sector? What are you going to do with them? The government has to be downsized. So in downsizing the government, what are you going to do with all of those people that are going to be let off?
But listen what
are you
going to
do with
them? Hold on. No. I promised Matt that he was next. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, Michigan is absolutely right. There's no product being produced by government. And I disagree. He's right. It does have to be downsized, but that's not the goal of what's been happening over the past 7,500 years. I mean, once the government gets big enough and they do have, you know, they are the number one job producers here, what's going to happen when all the people with their government jobs and there's very little private sector jobs, what's going to happen when all these people demand more money, demand higher minimum wage? What do you think the government's going to do when they're getting the demands from their workers? Do you think they're going to they're going to compensate these people? No, they're going to tell you what you're going to make. They're going to tell you what your benefits are. They're going to tell you where to work. That's the disgrace of big government. Is the government's not going to allow you to push them around like these other corporations in the private sector.
What I said a little bit earlier, and it still stands true right now, this is how I got into this conversation. We tied our health care to the same people who are making the same laws for everything else that's going belly up. And so as the entitlement and as this process swells, we need to be cognizant not of the president, not of the Congress, but of the whole system on what we are allowing to happen. And then brace ourselves, prepare ourselves, and go into something with your eyes wide open instead of your eyes wide shut. Because right now, we think we're getting something, and in the end, we're going to get screwed.
Well, you're going to get what you've been getting, which is nothing.
No.
It won't be
you're
nothing.
It's going to be worse.
It wasn't worse than nothing. Yeah, okay.
Because you got to understand, when I'm sitting up in the hospital with a broken leg and it takes them 2 or 3 days to fix it because I'm a smoker, I'm a drinker, and
I'm a joker.
And the quality of care of the way I act because I'm spoiled as an American.
You know what happened, Tracy? This is if government could do this, it would work. If they could stick to figuring out a way how to expand the private sector and kill monopolies, it would work. But it has gotten too big and out of place. If they could do that and do that well, the private sector is not going to do that.
It's going to
control markets.
But this is the problem.
That, it could be
the
a
government
good
could
relationship.
Listen, the government could do something about it. The government won't do anything about it because remember they have their hands in the pockets of the people. Then they don't. This is it. Let me reshape this. We have allowed our legislative process to be controlled by people outside of the electorate that puts them in office.
Lobbyists.
No, not
the
lobbyists.
Private sector.
Most of us are a part of lobbies and don't know it. All you AAR people out there, you're a part of a lobby. NAACP, you're a part of a lobby. Urban
NRA.
All of you are a part of a lobbying group. Everybody's a part of, except for poll people. Poll people have no lobbying group. That's why they're not dealing with your issues and they're letting you stay homeless. Dogs have a lobbying group.
Put you in jail quicker for animal cruelty than child abuse.
And so what I'm saying
is... The gatekeepers are the lobbyists for the poor people.
But the thing is, we're going to have to stand up and become our own lobbying group because you have the ability to do so. Hey, Diva, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Hi,
I just want to say that if you were to run for the Ohio General Assembly or the U.S. House of Representatives, I would vote for you. Not only will I vote for you, but I will work on your campaign. Because it seemed like everything that you're saying is good, but I'm wondering how it would be when you actually get in there. So
let
I'm
me tell
thinking
you, Diva, I want to tell you how it would be.
I can tell you
how it would be.
The same way it is now.
Hold on. They would not let me get any steam because you can't do it with one. that's where it comes into where we have to educate the people on how to move who's there. Because nothing moves on the power of one in a legislative body.
But sometimes it could start with just one.
No, not in a legislative body.
Yes.
No. Because you got to understand, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, you got to understand, they will shut you down and put you out if you don't come in and swing with them. And so unless you have a powerful lobbying group behind you, who's going to step up to the plate and make sure that across the board, if you don't do what's necessary for the people, that you'll put all of them out, you'll just be a lone wolf. That's why we have to educate people to count on how to engage the process no matter what.
And soon as you figure out how to engage it correctly, they'll change it anyway. So, but go ahead.
It seems like the process on both sides is rigged.
Correct.
So we need to get in there and to actually engage the process. And even if you can't change it, at least you try. And that's
not until we educate enough people to make systemic change can we really do anything about it. And that's why we make people think here. I don't want you to become me. I just want you to think.
Here's the thing. People like me, we have our ideal set. People on the opposite side like me, we have our ideal set. And there's more people like me on my side, and there's more people like me on the opposite side. So the only thing that you talking is not going. It's really not going to change us.
It's education and thinking. Go ahead, Mark.
Here's what's got to happen. Now, the news media has failed to report to the public what's going on. Radio programs like this help inform the public of what's going on. People don't understand anybody to tell them what's going on. And until the light begins to dawn, the sun begins to come up over the horizon and dawn breaks a little bit in people's minds and fully understand what's going on, it's going to get worse, and I don't know what that catalyst is. It's going to let people to finally say, this is what's happened. How did we get here? Under this particular administration, people don't understand, within our realm of existence and the world we exist in every day and our understanding of America, we don't get what it is that he's doing because it's not within our own experience of reality. And it's going to hit real bad.
You've got to know
what's coming, and you've got to educate yourself and do some reading so you can tell other people this is what's coming down the pike. And I don't want to hear it's bashing Barack Obama.
Yeah, but this is where the disingenuousness comes from. If you say whoever the call is right there, he appears to be saying he know what's going on. He said,
I know what's going on, sir. I exactly know.
Yeah, but now, if you know what's going on, you already damn know that what is going on has very little to do with a particular administration. And so, for you to couch the problem with the administration that's in there now is the one who's making the what's going on bad. Is disingenuous and it's not correct.
No, sir, not when it comes to health care. It has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else but this current administration. Him alone. He
healthcare.
Did it. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid did it.
We're going to have to hear about the boards that I sit on right now are dealing
with the problem, and it's going to be mean and it's going to be nasty stuff coming down the pike.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here at WSLM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Keep the chat room open.
News. A 19-year-old Cortland man has waived his right to a preliminary hearing in connection with the stabbing of a 17-year-old outside of Burger King on January 16th. Daniel Lee Kelly is charged with felonious assault. His bond was lowered from $50,000 to $15,000. A vigil is scheduled for tonight for Teddy Fultz Tedesco, a 14-year-old boy who died on January 23rd. Police believe the boy died of injuries he suffered at the hands of a Struthers man. The vigil will be held at Kingdom Community Church in the 5th Street Plaza in Struthers. And the number of lower-income school children in Ohio receiving free or reduced-price lunches has decreased for the first time in 6 years. Numbers from the Ohio Department of Education show that nearly 820,000 youngsters are getting subsidized meals this school year. That's 44.4%, a slight decline from the 45.3% enrolled in the program last year. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and check out America's freshest lineup of vehicles, like the 2013 Focus. Get a great value with attractive lease or cashback options. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free.
Oh,
about
thank goodness. Woo! I have a question. I don't know who was speaking right before she went to break. Was that Kavina Man?
Michigan Man. That's Michigan.
Michigan Man. You were right on point. And that's the point that I was trying to make with Tracy, is that when you have people who feel like you have people like me on the liberal side, and then you have people like Mark who is speaking on the conservative side. When you have people like that on both sides of the aisle, you've got to do something other than what you're doing to make them listen. Because like you said, it's not about the current administration. It's not just about the current administration. It's about the past administrations and administrations to come. But he couldn't hear that. Why?
He can't hear it.
Stuck
right.
In the idealism right. Of conservatism. If it was a liberal, more of a liberal than me, they would have been stuck in the ideals of liberalism. And you can't hear. Why do you
well,
think
Diva,
people
I think that
are
has
so
everything
caught
to do
up
with
in
the fact. Diva?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that has everything to do with the fact that I'm going to say this and it's going to sound very uneducated. I have a problem with us identifying ourselves as Democrat, as Republican, as conservative, as liberal, as capitalist, communist, whatever you want to identify yourself as, because when you do that, you box yourself in to whatever that is supposed to mean, and you can't step out of that because you possibly came up with a new way or idea, a new way of thinking. And so when we talk conservative, when we talk liberal, when we talk Democrat, Republican, you're always going to have that person that stays strictly on that side of the fence to argue their point of view. Always, always.
I get what you're saying.
Well, no, but then it's possible that you could have some of the same opinions, same views, but because it's under the category of Democrat or Republican, that always separates us. So the gentleman,
I get what
he
you're
made his. Say again.
Go ahead.
The gentleman that was making his comment, I understood what he was saying. I also understood what Michigan was saying, but then people have to be honest with themselves and say, all right, Michigan, you like Diva said, you brought out a good point. The truth is, if we're going to be honest, okay, maybe Clinton's administration has something to do with where we are today. Maybe John F. Kennedy's administration has something
right.
to do with where we are today. You got to be honest. And,
right.
and people don't want to be honest because we have our favorites. We have our picks. We have our likes. We have our categorized side of the fence that we have to defend.
I don't think I understand your point, but I don't think it's more so of, I think people just use the labels just to identify their ideals. I use the term liberal, even though a lot of what I believe is not liberal. I have some conservative point of views, especially when it comes to my faith. And I can step out of that box and say, well, you know, the conservative was right on this point. I think most people, like
faith or religion. They just need to have a title. It doesn't mean that they're boxed in. If some people box in, yes, but it has to do more so with what they believe than more so with what a particular party believes. And that's what irritates me, when people think that people are so dumb enough and so controlled that they're just going along blindly with a party just to go along with it. No, it has to do with their beliefs and what they are feeling inside of themselves. If I believe strongly or identify strongly with this party, then of course I'm going to defend those ideals because it's what I believe. But like I was challenging Tracy, you guys, people always say it's the media. Why is the media so successful in turning and twisting and getting people to follow along with what they're putting out there? Why? Because they provide people with a visual. People in America, we see something, we like it. We hear it, we don't believe it. Same goes for the entertainment community. Why do people follow along with that? Because they see something. And that's what I'm like, we need to see something in order to believe it and to change the system. If we're not seeing anything and we're just hearing talk, I don't think it's going to change. You can talk all they want, but I don't see anything.
Especially when you can smell a rat in the talk, you see? Especially when you can smell a rat in the talk.
Is my mic on?
And that could be a rat from either side.
Yes,
my mic
on.
Yeah, that's I'm Larry calling from down south of Youngstown. I guess I'm a conservative. I always label myself a fiscal conservative, and that's what all of politics should be, fiscally conservative, because like the one caller said, government doesn't create anything; they take and then they do what they have to do with that money, but it's a finite supply, and you always want to. The one caller was incorrect. There's like 16% of the United States population works in the federal side. Now, if you want to throw the Army in there, yeah, you can get that percentage up. But the private sector is what drives the government. You know what I mean? They're the ones out there doing it. And so when you look at any policy, you got to look at, is it fiscally sound? You know what I mean? Like Obama said during the election, he was going to raise taxes on the rich, right? He did that. Taxes on the rich went up. That didn't even cover the amount of money that we shipped off to this Hurricane Sandy relief. So all the money that we're taking in 2013 by raising the taxes on the rich just covered that. It didn't even cover the deficit, the fiscal year deficit, or the debt. So when I look at stuff, it's always on the fiscal side. Now,
I have a question for fiscal conservatives, Larry.
Let me give you an example of like Barron County in Michigan. The largest employer in Barron County, when you add up all of the jobs, is the social services industry. You got your DHS, the Department of Human Services. You probably got about 1,200 employees there. You got your Michigan Works. You got your community action agencies. You got all of these quasi-governmental organizations, which is trickle down from federal to state and things of that nature. So you're talking about an entire industry. You're absolutely right. That industry, the social service industry, does not produce nothing. It does not produce a product. But if you leave it to the private sector and believe that the private sector is going to create more private sector, you're wrong. The history shows it doesn't do that.
I will agree with you that there are certain areas, like you go down to Washington, D.C., for instance. They don't have an unemployment problem down in the D.C. metro area, and that could encompass all the way up into Maryland and Virginia.
Okay.
But you go to other places where, like Youngstown, for instance, it was a steel mill town. It's gone. And that was the driving force of the United States. It's always been the private sector. You make it all 100% government employees.
That's why you're missing me, man. We in agreement that there's no question about what the private sector providing those tax dollars then, which is used on the other side, the government being a corporation that then does what it does. There's no question about that, man. So if you think I'm saying grow the government, that's not what I'm saying.
But listen, Michigan, but this is my question. See, this
Did you understand that, Larry?
I'm not saying this is not about growing or not growing anything. What this is you have maybe 15 people on this line, but you've got other thousands of other people that are listening in. That's all they do. They just listen in. They never gonna call. They just gonna listen. The question is, are we really paying attention to how this is going to affect each and every one of our lives because of us being so passive in our political stance and not holding these guys accountable?
Let me give you an example. I'm working with an organization right now, and I won't go into who it is and what it is, but they employ about 135 people. And of that 135 people, 60 are full-time people. Now, we're dealing with this issue of health care right now, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Of the full-time people that's going to be dropped down between 30 and 35, I'm not sure who in that group of people is going to be able to keep their health care or not, but right now it's not looking so good. Of the part-time people who are working 32 to 35 hours a week right now, their employment's going to drop down between 25 to 28 people hours per week, and they're going to have to go look for another job. Now, those are real consequences to real people, and I know a lot of those people voted for the current administration twice. Now, when they're going to come complaining to me after the first of the year as to what's going on, what do I say to them? This isn't my choice. We didn't ask to do this because our choice is change the way we do business or we're out of business and everybody's gone. There's consequences to real live people.
Let me give you an example.
Well, the
company my wife works.
Hold on, Diva.
Go ahead, Bob.
The company my wife works for provides our health care coverage. Okay. And the president of the company, I was in a conversation with him, and he said that it would be more affordable for him to drop the health insurance coverage for the employees and pay the $2,000 a year fine for each employee than the $15,000 a month the company spends on health care.
And let me say this, because when you talk about the government, and see, this is where I'm going with this. We don't realize that the government, they've taken themselves off the same system. You know, I mean, you got to look at this. Right now, there was a President Obama right before the election, or right after the election, or a couple weeks ago, something along there. He just signed a bill, taking the freeze off of the federal government and their raises. So that everybody got raises in the federal government. Huge ones.
Hold on, Diva.
You also have to understand that they have federal pension programs and state pension programs and teachers' pension programs that they are not tied to Social Security.
At all.
So once you become a government employee, they eject themselves from the system that you're in as the taxpayers.
Or the health care, or
the receiver of benefits from the government.
Absolutely, everything is different from them than in for you. But yet you give them the power to take care of you, but they don't want to be a part of the system that they govern. It's like a school teacher in an inner city who sends her child to a private school because she doesn't want her child going to the school in which
it's
she teaches.
It's not like they do it.
I know that.
Yeah. Not only that, Tracy, wait till you talk about they've taken themselves out of the system. They've also excluded themselves from having to pay. Because a lot of people, you're going to get your income tax thing here, and they're going to show a little box down there. Right now it doesn't affect you. It will in 2014. But if, let's say you're a teacher. Now, I know what our teachers pay. If it's a family plan, it's $18,000 a year. Under Obamacare, which is fully implemented in 2014, $4,000 of that dollars you'll have to take as earned income. But the teachers unions and a lot of our elected officials, they're excluded for that, and they have Cadillac plans that cost way more than $17,000,
$18,000. And
you and I will be paying taxes on that. You'll be paying taxes.
Go ahead, Diva.
Right.
I hear what you guys are saying. I hear, and I'm not in agreement, and I'm not in disagreement. The only thing that I have a problem with is why did the private sector did not do anything about health care previously to the Obama administration? Where was the private industry when people were getting kicked off health care and being taken off when they needed the services? Now it's all a big complaint. I mean, I heard nothing from anybody.
Diva,
I'm telling you, the government stepping in and saying, well, we're going to do something about it.
I tell them, and I keep on saying this, I told them, you know, I tell Republicans, you know, who are in office, I have a problem with us complaining as much as we are, because when you were in power, you did nothing about it. And you knew the same problem was existing then as it does now. And so you can't really be hate the people who did something about it and not like the plan that they put in place. But,
and I agree 100%, Tracy. That's exactly right. I say that.
But what I'm saying now is this has to be massaged to where it's effective, because this is crazy plan. And this plan is
going
to
be perfect right off the bat.
Please don't make it to where it's going to kill me.
Yeah, Diva, I would not want to be going in to get a medical procedure after the first of the year. It's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect everybody that's listening to this program right now. If you think that the system is going to be able to survive something that's basically a half-assed program, which is what this is, it's going to collapse.
Hold on, Diva. And you're mandated to participate in it, pay for it, or they're going to attach your taxes to it. You got to understand what they did. So even if you don't like what you're in, you got to pay for it anyhow.
All I can say is y'all should have done something, complained, whatever, beforehand. The private sector should have stepped in. This is why the government always steps in, because the private sector does not move when it needs to move. If they are running the industry and they have a greater capability of being greater in our economic system, yet they do nothing. They sit back, they watch problems, because all they're worried about is profit. So then when the profit becomes more than the people's health or their welfare, the government steps in and says, wait a minute, we're going to do something about it. And then everybody acts like it's World War III, it's Armageddon, it's the end.
Well, Diva,
conservative people should have been hollering when people were being kicked off their plans, people were not getting services, and people were dying because they had inadequate health care. And that's all I got to say.
I'm going to agree with you to a point. But then let me tell you something. From the other side, when the economy collapsed, and what you've got to view healthcare not only in terms of the practical issues, and you're talking about very important practical issues, because I was one of the ones that would say if the private sector just to come in and fix it, the government's going to come in and fix it. You're not going to like what they're going to do. But what they came up with was an ideological program that had no basis in reality and basically had a small group of left-wing operatives who are primarily academics. These people have zero practical experience, work experience outside of government or social agencies. They're coming from academia, which has none experience in the private sector, came in and put this together based on left-wing theories, and they absolutely cut out 50% of the population in the discussion. Now, they talked about Romney, you know, in Massachusetts. Well, we based on what Massachusetts is. No, that's not really true. But what people like me say is that this kind of a system governing 350 million or 335 million people on its face can't work because the bureaucracy is going to be so cumbersome. It will collapse under its own weight. We have another alternative here, and that's with the states. And allow states to come in and take a look and see if they can adjust to every state's needs. Our needs are different than Florida's. Florida's needs are different than Texas. Texas' needs are different than Illinois. Every state has a different system. And they really ought to try to take a look at that and see what can be done on that level rather than the federal level. What's coming down the pike won't work. And whether you can argue polemics from now to the cows come home, at the end of the day, on January 1, 2014, good luck trying to get your procedures done, because people aren't going to know how it's going to be paid for, and everything's going to stop. And that's a big, big concern.
States are held up mostly, their Medicaid, their those programs are held up by the federal government. They get a lot of their money for those programs through the federal government. The states would not be able to have a lot of those social programs, social services, especially Medicaid, and this, it was not for the federal government. Secondly, I get your passion, and I get how frustrated you are. But the biggest problem that most of you fiscally conservatives have is with the mandate, because a lot of that health care, a lot of that came through, is very, very
Diva,
good.
But see,
you cannot deny
Diva,
it.
Diva, listen to what I'm saying. Okay, I have accepted that we have now a national health care program. Okay? I accept that President Barack Obama is the president and he beat out Mitt Romney. Now, let's get to the brass tacks of what's going on. Decisions that are made today are going to affect my tomorrow. And I need to be cognizant of my tomorrow just as I am today. It's like a savings plan. Or it's like a detour in the road. If I know that the bridge is out up front, I do not continue to go straight. What I'm saying is the American people need to wake up, begin to ask the questions of the legislative bodies on both the Republican and the Democrat side on the actual effect this is going to take on everyone's lives, because the media at large is being very, very disingenuous when it comes to how it is affecting people today. People are getting taxed and overtaxed. Their medical bills are going up, and things are taking shape right now, and they are not telling the people of what's going on. Right now, we are sidetracked with Beyonce lip-syncing the Super Bowl, reality TV, and gun control, and not dealing with what's really going to affect people's lives, taking this program, putting it into with your taxes, thinking you got something, and you really don't. And it's what they call it's like three-card Molly. We are going to have to pay attention, because if we don't start doing something, everybody, except for the extremely wealthy, is really going to, the crap is going to hit the fan, and it's going to fly, and it's going to hit everybody except for the people who have a parachute. And most of us do not have a parachute to escape.
The problem is
that's not true. You're kind of being disingenuous, because it's not going to hurt the poor. It's not going to hurt the working poor, those who basically what you consider getting refunds as it is. It's not,
really?
Not going to hurt those people.
No,
no,
Diva,
it's not going to hurt the upper middle class. It's going to affect the upper middle class.
No,
it's going to affect the rich.
No, no, no.
The Medicaid can't pay their bills.
True.
From the state. Like, it's the state government.
You act like this is a bill.
Diva, let me ask
you
this.
Like this is a bill.
Hold on. Let's be real about this. Right now you have quality of care, and doctors are going to be able to pick and choose who they choose to serve. They're going to pick people.
Doing that.
Diva, let me finish. They're going to pick people with Cadillac plans and people that are in good health. Right now they'll take you they'll take you on a cot right now as long as Medicare pays. But when Medicare stops, listen to what I'm saying. Hold on. When Medicare stops paying, you never know who is at the top of your doctor's class and at the bottom of your doctor's class. You don't know who's there. Poor people are going to end up, if you have ever been to a bad clinic.
You're fear mongering. Because
I'm going to tell you point blank. I know five doctors who shut their practices down because they don't want to deal with it.
I know a few doctors
that
quit taking Medicaid patients.
Listen, honey, to what I'm saying.
They don't pay the entire hospital
bill. But you're being disingenuous.
No, Diva, I'm not. Listen to what I'm saying.
Because you're trying to make it seem like something has changed from what it used to be. They've been doing that for years.
Diva.
No, it hasn't. They've been cherry-picking their patients for years, for decades, Tracy.
Diva, do you go to a good doctor?
I have several doctors, and
do you go to good doctors?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
They're very
good.
Now, stop
right there. You went to the doctor, and he took you as a patient. Have you been to a doctor, and they told you that we don't take you because we don't accept your insurance?
Yeah, when I was on, Not Anthem.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
United.
So have you ever been rejected because of your health condition?
No.
Okay. What I'm saying is quality of life care has to do with how you take care of yourself. Have you been called by your insurance company, that if you have it, And have they asked you if you're on your medication and if you're taking your medication, if they, or how's everything going with you lately?
Yes.
Do you
when
know why
they're on,
hold on.
When I was on
is,
a
is that,
no, not
is that,
recently.
Hold on.
Not
hold
recently,
on.
But
hold on. Was that new for you? Because usually insurance companies don't call you and ask you how you're doing. Your doctor calls, the clinic calls, but does the insurance company call you and ask you about your meds and what's going on with you? Was that new?
They have called me because they've seen an increase in their payment.
We understand what it is. No, Diva.
So that
listen,
was totally different. And in fact, they were calling a check to make sure everything was on. Okay. They were calling because they
she
saw an increase in payment.
No, no, hold on, Diva. Now, hold
I'm
on.
Not
hold on.
That
they're calling my mother now and asking my mom about her health. They want to come out and check her on her, make sure she's doing okay. See, they're doing that because you have to understand quality of life health care is going to attach itself to you. Bobby, you've been going through the medical
I'm scared to death right now. I'm a 58-year-old male diagnosed with
death,
cancer.
Mark.
This
dead.
Is Bob. Bob, right? Bob's going through something. You've been going through chemo and everything else lately.
Right.
Tell me what's going on with you.
I am constantly the increase in our insurance has caused us in the last 2 years to change insurance companies twice because of the increase. We are now paying almost twice as much as we were out of pocket. My employer pays 80% of it, okay? I'm scared to death right now because of this quality of care because I don't meet the criteria. I am 58 years old, and I'm diagnosed with cancer. When they are going to start rationing health care, which is going to happen.
He doesn't qualify for a kidney now.
The government is not in control of what your insurance company pays and doesn't pay. That's
yes,
your,
it does. The government has mandated in the new insurance policies that have come out on 2014. The government has listed three types of insurance policies from which you can choose. It mandates exactly what you can be treated for and what it can't be treated for, and it also has set up a criteria to determine whether or not you're entitled to treatment. One of the things that it does is it's going to take your age versus the cost of the procedure that you want.
Thank you.
And they're going to decide, there's a figure. If it goes above a figure, you don't qualify. Below a figure, you qualify. So if you're 84 years old and you need a hip replacement, good luck. You won't qualify. That's a fact. You can scream and yell and complain all you want, blah, blah, blah. That's the fact. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. And until the country understands this is how it works, we're going to be in big trouble when it hits.
And again, go ahead, Alex.
I just want to say real quick, because I was talking about Medicare quite a bit, and, you know, people don't realize that on average what the states pay to facilitate the federal mandate of Medicare,
mm-hmm.
And for every dollar that they spend, they're only getting, you know, between 11 and 17 cents of actual benefit, less than 20 cents of benefit. So, By them cutting out Medicare, I mean, the states could actually just save that buck and just spend the 20 cents themselves, you know, and cut out the bureaucracy. But, you know, the feds have to, you know, fill in control of the situation. So we'd actually save money by cutting out Medicare across the board and letting the states handle it. The other thing, though, is that I kind of feel where Diva's coming from, but the disingenuousness, because, you know, the Republicans were pushing their mandate and universal health care in the 90s. They introduced it under Clinton, Senator, what's his name, Chafer or whatever his name is. And, you know, y'all are asking for the same things that the Democrats want now. So it's hard for me to trust that there's genuine concern about all these things, because I have little confidence that Republicans wouldn't do the same thing.
But see, Diva, this is my issue. I'm not talking to you from a Republican platform. I'm just talking to you from an average, everyday Joe that got a bill in hand, you know, a citizen. What I'm saying is, just as Tracy, this is not partisan. This is not. That's what I keep on saying. This is really not about Barack Obama. This is about bad, bad, bad legislation that and I said this and I will continue. They should have regulated the insurance companies and not the medical profession. And that's not what they did. And now we are in a situation that we're going to have to keep our eyes open to. whether it was a Republican piece of policy or a Democrat piece of policy. It was bad policy. And bad law is bad law. I don't care who writes the law.
I think you have to look at it from a perspective, this is what's really scary. Is that you're going to have a private system of insurance grow up alongside this. And you're going to have this horrible, horrible insurance, this medical system for, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts like me, you know, and the middle class, and it's going to be good. And you're going to have a really good system of insurance go up alongside of it for people with money. And they're going to be able to get what they want. You go to Italy, that's what they've got. They've got the public hospitals that are run through the public system, and then they've got the private system. When Bill Clinton tried proposing his insurance back the first 2 years of his presidency, he knew that's what would happen. And so what they tried to do is say to the doctors, if you take a non-Medicaid or Medicare patient, they'll throw you in jail. That's how he tried to handle it. This is not a problem that they didn't know was going to happen. The wealthy are always going to be able to get what they want. You're going to see clinics, and my prediction is you're going to see the Cleveland clinics and the Mayo clinics build hospitals right across the border in Texas, and you're going to have private insurance going down there, and the rest of us are going to be left holding our rear ends. That's where we're headed. And we just sat back and took it because they believe what this guy said. I read it, and I know what's happening in real time because I'm sitting through the discussions right now. It's not going to be pretty.
And I'm just saying, right now, if you listen to them, they actually, you know, in our system, if you go to the doctor, what the negotiated rate for the doctors, they say that they can't afford to practice like they once did.
Tracy.
Yes.
Hold on, Eva.
Yes, go ahead.
Could you see if you could find maybe one entrepreneur who, because a lot of people that's talking on the phone, first of all, they're not the ones with the businesses who are experiencing this. They're talking. They're saying what people are telling them.
No,
Why don't you get someone from both sides? Because at some point you got to square this circle. Because you have one businessman saying that the healthcare law is going to help him, then you have another one saying it's going to hurt him.
Michigan, I'm going to tell you something. This healthcare law is going to help my family personally.
I hear what you're saying, man. I hear your side. Let's get another businessman
who says
the healthcare law is helping him.
Michigan, I'm sitting for the discussions. There's no other side.
Listen, but
Michigan, you're not listening.
You said there's no other side?
There's no other side, sir.
If you want to go out and find me someone who is a businessman who is legit, I will gladly bring them on and let them tell me how it's going to help him. Because I have yet to
when I get off the phone because I've seen them on TV. So I know that they're out there.
Listen, I have yet
gonna,
to find
I'm
going to
go find
business people, Michigan. It's going to help business people when they say, we don't have to pay for this anymore. We're going to pay the fine. You're on your own.
You just made your point, man.
Okay.
You said there's nobody on the other side of his issue. Are you willing to bet money on that?
Michigan. I have not yet found. I've told you, if you
I'm
find me one,
I'm talking to your caller. Is he willing to bet money on that?
He's not my caller. He's sitting in studio. And what I said was, if you find me one, I will bring them on. But I have yet to find a businessman, including those who voted for President Obama, to tell me this is going to help him. Because what he's telling me, and all of them are saying, that's going to kill them as a small business.
I don't even think it was meant to help businesses. It was meant to help the consumer.
But the consumer's going to have to pay the bill.
But I'm
a business guy, and I'm looking at the policy for my employee. It's going to cost me $10,000. Or the government tells me, you don't have to buy it. Give us $2,000 in penalty. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to throw them off the health care plan, pay the $2,000. Doesn't affect me one way or the other. It affects you.
And you know what? They end up qualifying for Medicaid. But I've been in the healthcare system since I was 12 years old.
No, they won't.
Okay?
Because they earn too much money.
Because if they don't qualify, if a person does not qualify for, if your job does not have healthcare, then they will qualify for Medicaid unless they're making about $50,000 a year.
Diva,
Medicaid. You let him tell his story.
Medicaid, as
you
know it,
Diva.
Listen, I don't have time. I've only got 7 minutes. Medicaid, as you know it, is no longer going to exist.
Okay. See, that's the fear-mongering.
Listen, the Medicaid and the Cadillac plan that you know it as of today, it will not exist. It will not. That's
okay,
the issue.
Like there's the fear-mongering. There is
there's
the fear-mongering.
There's
because
the fear. It's real.
Like
Listen,
you guys
you are not,
give your perspective,
I'm not,
but
listen,
you don't
Diva,
have
this
another
is not a
side
perspective.
Of the perspective.
What we're telling
okay.
you is it's no longer going
all
to
right.
exist as it is.
Well, you know what,
you
Tracy?
Could, Diva, do you,
I'd rather pay that fine and get the help that I need. I have a neurologist, I have a cardiologist, I have a psychotherapist, and I have a medical doctor. That's four doctors. And I don't have to worry about getting kicked off an insurance plan because I'm having too many seizures or I'm getting too much treatment from my cardiologist. All this stuff that has to deal with. I have to see my medical doctor for blood tests twice a week. And,
listen,
I don't have to
Diva.
Worry about that. So I'd rather, because I'm not having to worry about that, I'd rather gladly pay the fine.
Call back January 2nd, 2014.
You're not going to get the service
that
you think
because
you
my
will
health
not.
Condition will
Diva,
not have to.
Listen,
why,
Diva.
Nothing's changing.
And hold on. As long as you're indigent, you might be right. But if you're not indigent.
Even if I wasn't indigent,
Diva,
Tracy, that's
Diva,
the cause.
If you're
that's
listen,
you, that's the
if
cause
you are
you
indigent. If you are indigent, you may be right. If you are completely bankrupt.
I said that before.
But
if
you are working,
it's not
going to
bother the poor.
Diva, are you working?
It's not going to bother the working poor.
Diva, are you working?
It's not going to bother the working poor.
Okay.
I'm not working at this time.
Go
well,
ahead, 773. Your mic is on.
I'm
done with you, Diva. I love you. It's going to hurt you. Go ahead, Chicago.
Well, you know, just as an independent voter, the white moderates have to change their system. If they want change, things that they're not happy with, they need to change their system. If you have special
Chicago, you said this yesterday.
Wait. If you have special interest groups that are on both sides, and also you have your Federal Reserve, look, big business is going to write policies. You have to do something with your politicians. They shouldn't be getting pensions. They shouldn't be getting health care for their family. Look, you have to change the way that you guys do things, the white Americans. If they want change, change it.
Chicago, I just got a question. If you think, I got 3 minutes. Hold on. Okay. If you think that white America is going to catch a cold, what you don't think will happen to black America?
Once again.
No, ask the question.
If white America catches a cold. So if they have special
if white America catches
like
a cold.
Insurance groups that white politicians.
If white America catches a cold.
Politicians,
so what is the difference between white America and black America on this issue?
Well, black folks in America has always been suffering. So this is a white. This is a, if whites are not happy with their system, they need to change it.
So what are you gonna do?
Catch a cold.
No, he gonna have pneumonia.
Don't worry about what I'm.
Ain't you heard the cliche?
If white America catches a cold, black America dies. If you talking about blacks. Blacks in America has always been struggling.
Chicago, hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. I love y'all all. No, we ain't changing no system. This ain't a black and white issue. I don't know how the heck y'all got the black and white. 3 hours in and we got a black health care and a white health care. All y'all going to die. Unless you got a whole lot of money where you go to a private physician and a private practice. Because those are the only people that's really not going to affect. And it's true. And whether y'all agree with me or not, the only people that it's not going to affect is those that have the money to either go out and get, you know, the Cadillac plan and have private services, or those of you who are so indigent that stand in line for 15 hours to get something done is not going to affect your bottom line.
Was it my fault? Because on the way here, you were talking about relationships.
I don't know. You did it. No, it was his fault.
No, you wanted to move in and talk. I was happy talking about, you know.
It was his fault. I got to go. So I'll see you guys tomorrow. Listen, I will be sworn in tomorrow at the Board of Elections at 10:30. I will see you guys then. I'd love for you to be there at the 345 Oak Hill Avenue in the old South Side Annex building. God bless you and have a good day.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, yes. America's freshest lineup is now at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer. Stop in to see the all-new 2013 Ford Fusion. For more information, visit driveoneohio.com.